Hell, even though PSI Net tried to fuck us and shut everything down, even though everyone's trying to stop us, even though the FCC's knocking on the door, it's the Rant Radio 26 fucking hour marathon where we can see how many curse words we can say in just over one day. It's going to be a good time. Stick around. Lots more coming.
He hasn't heard a lot of this.
Rotomedic just died. We just passed away on us.
I'd like to talk about something serious now for a moment.
Before we do, I'd like to ask Rotomedic a question. Could someone hand him a mic?
Sure.
Rotomedic?
Yes.
What does it mean when your head starts to tingle?
It's not good.
What should we do?
You'll be fine. Just keep tuned to Rant Radio and listen in. Eventually, if you're not careful, your head will explode, but that's all acceptable.
That's a side effect.
Cool. People, we may have the first death live on the internet. Just stay tuned.
Nah, it's already been done.
All right. So let's talk about something serious now. I'd like to talk about something very serious. We need to...
Coyote Ugly?
We have to talk about Coyote Ugly.
Coyote Ugly. That's
and very serious. That's death... The death of the modern music industry. and the death of the modern movie industry.
Coyote Ugly, isn't that when you wake up in the morning and the woman laying next to you...
It's so fucking ugly, you chew off your own arm rather than wake her up. Yes. This is what Coyote
is that
Ugly
that
is.
That's Coyote
that's
Ugly.
That's what Coyote Ugly is.
Oh, my gosh.
Somebody sent you something.
Cult.avi.
Uh-oh, let's take a look.
Let's take a look at this. Take a good look, says Mr. Echo.
What is AVI?
It's a movie.
It's a video thing.
An error has occurred. That's great. Thank you, Mr. Echo. Please encode it in MPG, which is very, very diverse and always works. AVI, there's like 50 billion codecs.
Yeah.
You have to download all of them.
Yeah, and it's no good.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
MPEG, please. MPG.
Coyote Ugly. The story is about a girl who leaves home, where John Goodman is her father. We've culled all of this from the trailer. Yeah, unfortunately, I've had this trailer forced upon me.
It so many times.
And she goes to this bar. The bar is called Coyote Ugly. It's run by these several sexy hot bitches. And they do sexy hot bitch shit.
Gator chair.
And then they basically pour drinks, and there's some sort of a plot somewhere in here. Carefully squeezed in between
the party plot,
breasts and tit fucking and whatever else they do in this goddamn thing. Now,
in other words, it's another poorly assembled excuse for a movie just so they can sell soundtrack albums to mindless people who couldn't.
Damn straight.
No, they're pandering.
Tell good music if it jumped up and
this
hit them on the ass.
This is pandering to the sports crowd. This is what this is.
Yeehaw, beer.
The sports. This is directly related to sports. Directly.
Uh-huh.
Directly related to professional sports.
Yeah?
We're talking... Oh, fuck, for sure. For sure. Beer, good-looking chicks, right?
Yep.
And country music, and they're all like, oh, yeah, we're rocking, this is the best party ever. Excuse me. I am 26 years old.
Yeah.
I spent a long time drunk. I was drunk. I partied hard. For me to go to one of these bars and party, to drink, and watch these women serve me drinks... And have, like little bits of pyro and New Kids on the Block kind of stage show effects happen. It's not a party. A good party is when you go out and there's people showing up in fucking fetish gear and zipper masks. And you're so fucked up you don't know what's going on. And you wake up the next morning in a little kid's racing car bed. And a Down syndrome child comes stumbling into the room and you don't know how he got there. That's a good party. Happened to me. True story. And I watched out for, I was watching out for cops. I'm like, where am I? Oh, my God, I'm in a child's bed. If I roll over, there's a child next to me, oh, I'm fucking dead because I'll have to kill myself right now. Roll over, no kid. Turns out that it was my buddy. He hooked up with this chick. She had her Down syndrome child, and the kid sleeps in the bedroom with her, and he fucked her with the Down syndrome kid watching. It was really wild.
Oh. This is Brick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Brick.
There are some people that you've heard about who instantly you hear another story which has no morals, and you know who the fuck it was.
Oh, wow, that guy could party.
This was the Brick.
When me and the Brick used to go out, man, it was fucking hell night, you know? This is when I used to stumble around and found the
Satan
skinheads.
Used to come home and lock up the devils.
It was
a bad night out.
Brick used to crawl Winnipeg. Oh, it was fucking brutal. It was
when you had a liver.
Yeah, this is when I had my alcohol immunity built up pretty high and just on like 5-day-long benders.
My record is 2 weeks.
2 weeks drunk?
Wow. 2 weeks drunk.
Not working at this time.
No, I was off, basically. I had some extra time off. I had some extra time off. I had just broken up with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically about 4 days before Christmas. So I went to the bar and got drunk. I liked the bar, so I came back the next day. I liked the bar, so I came back the day after that.
Because the world looks much better through the bottom of the glass.
Well, the next day was Christmas, so I might as well show up then, too, because, hey, I mean, everybody I know now is in the bar. And you always like to spend Christmas
I've only known you for 10 minutes, and you're the best fucking
I've ever had. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you want to spend Christmas with the people you know and love.
By what, Dave 11? Jack!
You got a regular seat in the whole nine yards.
No Jack. Shit. I had my regular seat. So I come in there. I'm talking politics with, like, an 80-year-old man. Okay, this is... let it go. Answer the phone.
It's a zombie. It's 3 o'clock. Hello, you're on What the Hell. Who's this?
Lieutenant Major Zombie.
Ding! We have a winner!
Time for your 3 o'clock call-in.
What time is it there? Is it 6 o'clock?
Yeah, almost, but... 4 minutes to be 6 o'clock.
Are you going
to
stay up for all 26 hours, Zom?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. How many more hours do I have left?
We've done 6.
20 more hours.
20 more hours.
20 more hours. Long.
Well, let's chew on that for a while. Say what the hell.
Huh? Half the time we do hang up on the, huh?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I say he's not going to make it.
He's doing pretty good. I mean, I'm sure the sun's come up where he lives.
Replace.
Okay, replace. I don't think I got it all or something. We're going to try that again. Oh, a smokehouse like that. Let's go through the IRC here, see who's left. Gargoyle, Mr. Echo, Subby, Opie Dofi, yeah, Decker Format RR, Decker Test Rider, Emperor Chang. Is he in cult?
No.
Mr. Echo, please.
He wouldn't answer the fucking question. He's sarcastic as fuck. It's like,
unplussed.
What's your favorite color? I don't have colors. I think you're an idiot.
Okay.
Please unplus Emperor Chang. He is very cool. Oh, thank you there. FT Rooster, Gargoyle, Nightshade, Gargoyle, Adam, Nomad 316, Prophet Nixer, Prophet Smokehouse, Prophet Zerstor, Ronin Birds, Vampire, Asmodea, Prophet Spidey, DJ Intensity, Ellis from Geek News, Emperor Chang. I already said his name.
Ellis is listening?
He's been listening for the whole time, pretty much.
What time is it where Ellis is?
I don't know. It's either from somewhere from 3 till 6 a.m.
You are the fucking most hard Gargoyle. See,
Gargoyle. Cool.
Ellis isn't with us in cult yet.
Ellis, join cult, will you? Jesus Christ, you're the biggest Gargoyle I've ever met in my life.
No kidding, huh? He's just always there.
I'm sure when he sleeps...
You're carved out of stone and sit on a building.
No. When that guy sleeps, he has horrible nightmares. Where he's like... I woke up and I didn't have network connection. Monitor.
It's really still all here.
Oh, it's warm. Oh, it's warm. Warm monitor.
Gamer Space, Lieutenant Major Zombie, Marvy, and Forensic.
Wow,
and
we Ellis is fucking crazy, man.
Oh, I know. He's like, is 24 hours a day.
What are we? What are we?
This guy is
crazy.
You know the guys who are wired in?
Like, yes,
this guy's wired in.
He's fucking plugged in 24/7. Yeah, I'm here. The world ends. Fucking cockroaches are like, goddamn, this sucks. Ellis is like, I better update the page. Seriously, the guy's a fucking machine.
Wakes up in a cold sweat thinking, maybe my processor isn't fast enough.
And he's sitting there, he's like, well, you know, I was doing some research, and I find that if I can, hypercool using time travel, I should be able to run my processor.
By the way,
it's pretty hot. Yeah.
If this is okay, boys and girls, if you needed it, here's a sign of the end times. Here we go.
What?
I was talking to the ringleader.
Chris King.
At his shop, Geeks R Us.
Plug,
can
plug.
Can you reach that? Geeks-R-Us.com.
Dash. There it is. It's a spinning cult. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Yep.
Put it full screen somewhere.
It doesn't look very good. Full screen. It's all fucked up full screen on this one anyway.
So anyhow,
thank you very much. Very cool.
I was talking to the ringleader, and he said that he would look into getting me a new computer, which would be
still doesn't get you on the internet.
Up to date. No. We're talking. What I asked it for was games and the internet. That was all I cared about for.
Well, that's all everybody cares about.
Yeah, games and the internet.
No. You don't understand. Basically, this is me. Like I said, boys and girls, in case you weren't listening the first time, here is your sign of the end times. Here is your wake up call.
Captain Luddite makes it to the internet.
How much?
Basically about $1,000, and he'd let me do it on payments.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Go for it. Sounds pretty good. Let you play the games you want.
Well, you know why I
finally
had
get you on the internet.
No, why? No. You got it in one.
No, the crack's coming.
Diablo 2?
Diablo 2.
No, the crack is coming.
What is the crack?
The crack is the Call of Cthulhu game.
Yes, I heard about that.
The first person
Call of Cthulhu. Oh my god, yes.
And producer Sandy Peterson.
Yes.
So it's going to call game mechanics.
Yes. If you'll excuse me, I have to go change my underwear now.
It says, why don't you... Gamerspress, why don't you get the girl on the left or right or whatever to talk? Well, the girl on the left is not here tonight. She'll be here tomorrow, maybe.
Maybe? Are you talking about Margie?
Or are you talking about you? I don't know.
Are you talking about the blue hair or basically the girl on the left, the real girl on the left?
Because this is a new person. I've never seen this person, so it's probably talking about Margie.
That blue hair kicks monster ass.
I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. It is basically you look seriously. I'm not hitting you on. I understand she's your wife. I have somebody I really care about. And
okay,
I'm
enough
not
disclaimer. Yeah,
but disclaimer.
Seriously,
Steve's a maniac. Don't fuck with Steve. He'll cut your whole head off.
Well, no, that blue hair is seriously sexy. You look majorly hot that way.
Gush. Okay, so. What's that?
One condition, you loan Tracy the hair.
Tell me more about my house. You won't never get it back in the same condition.
No.
Well, there you go. it's going to come back. Look, it's all sticky. You don't want this.
So let's talk about...
Sticky hair. Let's talk about...
Shovel 1.
What is Shovel 1?
Shovel 1 is a command post, which we're going to be manufacturing. Step 1. To acquire Shovel 1, what Sean will be doing is he's going to be buying himself a school bus. Yes, an actual school bus. Bluebird variety. Probably about between the 30 and 45 passengers.
Is that a short bus or a long bus?
That is it. Long.
I think we should make it the short bus.
No,
because
it will be the long bus.
No, I'm sorry. With this crew, I feel we should be riding the short bus.
It has to be a long bus because it will take us to step 2. Step 2, after I procure the long bus, I will gut said bus. Gut it. Okay? Bus gets gutted. Then I begin to install step 3. Shovel 1 Mobile Command Headquarters.
Shovel 1.
It will be called Shovel 1. This is where we will be broadcasting from the Burning Man next year. Through the use of ham radio pirate and a... Let me just make sure I said this right. It's a horizontal Yagi unidirectional antenna through a relay at a ham radio base station set by GPS grid coordinates. And actually, my boss is an electrical engineer, and he's like crazier than a shithouse rat. And he spent 3.5 hours discussing with me how to use a ham radio.
Instead of doing work.
How to use a ham radio.
You got
to
look for that
with the internet
boss.
So that we can use the ham radio to broadcast live.
You betcha.
Via the internet using our cable connection.
Rant radio.
I
wow, Burning Man.
A cross between the Partridge Family and the SAS.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Partridge Fight Club is what this is going
to
be.
Hang on a second. This will mean nothing to no one in the room except for Ronan Medic. Bus to hell.
Anyway. Yeah, damnation alley. Anyway, so here
No. Last time this happened, it was a semi going to hell. But that's a long story.
Anyway, regardless, what we're going to be doing is, in all honesty, I'm going to procure a school bus.
Yep.
We are going to be painting the school bus matte black. I will be... Well,
in the desert.
Yeah,
well, it's
going to
be air-conditioned. I'm going to be putting reflective shit on the windows, and I'm going to be taking pretty much like 1/10-inch thick siding and putting styrofoam and spray styrofoam around the inside and making the inside of it actually box, so it's going to be insulated.
Okay.
Okay.
Those flames out the side aren't painted.
So what is going to be happening then is along the top we are going to be welding a long flat surface which will double as a cargo area as well as a sort of a balcony and a ladder on the back. Directly above the driving compartment, which will be pilot command 1 where I will sit. No. Yes, I'm Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, yes. And I would give anything to have that giant shoe. And I build my Yuagi. Yeah, would you? That'd be sexy. But what we do is that's where the Yuagi unidirectional antenna is going to be. And we will drive down to Burning Man and set up the cult theme camp down there. Because there are theme camps at Burning Man. Quick synopsis of Burning Man. Burning Man is this massive festival in the middle of the fucking desert. And what they do is they get together, they have these really artistic things that happen. It's like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert on smack. Okay? And they all get together, and they have people who, like, walk around in, like, these Arizona salt flats, like, heavily fucking drug-oriented. And they, like, do very groovy shit.
And it's very cool because there's no commercialism in there.
You're not allowed to sell anything. Period. You can only barter.
Yep.
So it's very, very cool. So what we want to do is, until recently, it's been all the heavy, you know, drug-induced Cenobite art crowd. So what we're going to do, now they have radio stations that go there, but they're only local. They're the FM band.
No internet broadcasting.
But what we're going to do is we're going to bring Burning Man to the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to be converting the entire rear section of the bus where the emergency door is into my own personal private compartment, where the Dark One will stay. And God help anyone who tries to go near the Dark One, because I'll kill them. But that's...
Do you want to bring your personal attack deck?
Yeah, we'll just. It is though.
Oh.
One big zipper mask. We'll call him the sex machine, and that'll be it. What we're going to be doing? I am the machine. My mommy always loved me. I just do it because I like it.
Put it in the happy box.
Something else just came in.
Yay me, Crouch from Nightshade. Oh, danger! We're going to open this up.
Wow. You're a cutie.
Yeah.
Nightshade is a total cutie. You look very vampire, Nightshade.
Ask Nightshade one question.
Yes.
Just ask her one question.
What?
Is she drunk?
Are you drunk, Nightshade?
No, Nightshade's very cool. I've got a...
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with her.
I'm just
wondering, is she drunk?
Drunk chicks.
No, I don't think she is. She's too smart to get drunk.
Excuse me.
Yeah. She's, I'm dug in now. Yeah, Mark! Oh, well, no, she didn't.
John discovers another use for the shovel.
She's not drunk.
How to bury himself alive.
She's not drunk.
She's not drunk.
She's amazing to talk to. She's got a huge, like, she knows way more about freaking and phone systems and security than I do.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She's really fucking cool.
Gargoyle. What has she said?
Oh,
what has she said? She answered?
Yeah, she says, no, she is not drunk. Nope, she does not drink, actually.
You do
yeah.
not drink?
Yeah.
Good honor.
The heathen. Woman for me.
Heathen.
In any case.
Gargoyle.
Now, back to Shovel 1. Hang on, this is important. Okay? Once we set this thing up, we are going to have a mobile command center.
Yes.
Yes. And from that, I should be able to take, to Burning Man, I should be able to take maybe four other people, but we're talking four other people max.
Yeah. Because you got to bring a lot of equipment when you go to Burning Man.
You have to bring, like, gallons and gallons and gallons of water.
No shit.
2 gallons per person per day.
Per day, minimum.
And we're there for a week.
That's not including, by the way.
Whoa. Something just flashed.
Yes, I saw it. It was a screen.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
By the way, in case you're interested, and I'm not making this up, you're talking about 2 gallons per day?
Yeah.
That's not including bathing. That's not including... basically, washing your clothes. We're talking just drinking.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'd be bringing clothes that just change into. I'm not going to be washing my clothes.
No, but you're going to be washing your body?
Yes, true.
We're talking about sand, okay?
Yes.
Trust me, when you get sand certain places and you chafe, you don't want to think about it.
Nobody wants to be making pearls.
Yeah, no shit. You're not a fucking oyster. He ain't kidding.
Got it.
So, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be setting this thing up, and we're going to go down there and set up the cult theme camp. Now, in the cult theme camp, we have certain things we want to get going on. One of the things we'd like to do is the idea, of course, we're going to bring the Blade Runner digital aspect to the theme camp of cult. So we're going to have robot wars. We're going to have remote control vehicles fighting. Very simple ones. Usually, like, you know, we'll buy something from Radio Shack and put a big nail on the front of it. And
have them ram
each other until one of them breaks. Nothing really elaborate.
No. But fun anyway.
Get those.
Go all out. Get Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
Put them on top.
Actually, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have free, because the robot wars they have are really, really,
I've
really.
I've seen those.
Well, they're really limited, though. You're not allowed to do a lot.
Oh, so you're figuring
no
at Burning Man. At Burning Man, you can mount that basically anti-tank missile on the top of
it. Well, it'd be cool to have, like, air combat and stuff, you know? Like have like.
Oh,
kind of
I see.
That'd be neat. Chinese, just ideas.
Chinese kite wars for the truly insane and rich.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have that. I was thinking about setting up a rave pit where we're gonna be running MP3s constantly out to a dug-in section where people can like just go and fucking thrash. You know, I'll have industrial music playing. We'll have the big one that I'm all for, which I'm going to have external conduit running on the outside of the van, of Shovel 1, that will lead down to sealed boxes, which are going to be sealed plastic conduit boxes for electrical. When you open the boxes, there will be hubs inside of there. And people will be able to go, bring their own patch cable and their computer, plug in.
And you're part of the network.
And we'll be part of the network, and from there we'll be running one motherfuck land game. Out in the middle of the Burning Man Black Rock Desert, the most beautiful desert in the world, and we are going to bring video games there and play.
Oh, we brought them up to the what the hell retreat up into the snow.
That's right, and we're going to actually have a LAN set up in the middle of the desert. And anyone can bring their computer, jack into the LAN, and fucking
yeah. That's right. For those of you who aren't familiar with what happened, Y2K came and went, nothing happened. But this group, hightailed their asses out to the boonies. We went bye bye. During that time, we brought guns, booze, some of the most interesting... What was the name of that gallon, that couple of gallons of stuff that you brought? Sean? What was the
wine,
name of
wine, right?
That whatever, what the hell was the name of that stuff?
Oh, Rue, I think, or something.
Yeah, it was Rue. It was the most weird, wicked, tasty drink I've had in a long time. And my liver thanks you, from the... the nursing home that it's currently in. Yeah, exactly.
Bottom of your stomach.
So anyway.
And we basically went there, and these people brought a fucking computer in the largest tent I've ever lived in. I was under the fucking big top. I'm not serious.
It was big.
It was a fucking little car pulled up, and basically 14 clowns got out. It was amazing.
So it was pretty cool, the amount of stuff that went on.
We bought night vision gear. Ryan basically, I should say, Ronan Sariette, brought a fucking ghillie suit. This was the most nutty fucking getaway I've ever done.
Well, we'll probably talk about that more later. Let's just stick to this one first, and we'll go over all that.
So,
that was very cool.
Back to the whole Shovel 1.
Shovel 1.
Shovel 1 will be the very first vehicle made.
Which fits on a license plate.
It will, though. We will.
Seven
be.
Letters. Shovel 1.
It only fits on
T6.
Seven.
Six. Seven.
You can have up to seven.
It is seven.
I have a personalized license plate.
It's seven.
I know of these things. I had to apply twice. I know the rules, in and out.
No,
I have X space Ace space X. Seven letters.
That's seven, dude. You can't have six. You can have six.
Please. 1, 2, 7.
Yep, 1, 7.
Yep.
So, Shovel 1 will be the license plate, if we can get it.
Yep. How many people have Shovel 1? Why would you think of Shovel 1?
So once we have Shovel 1, then that entire monster truck megaplex will be born, and Shovel 1 will be the wireless connection for Rant Radio broadcasting
anywhere
in the world.
Anywhere.
Because using that unidirectional Yagi horizontal antenna, we will be able to, using ham frequency lines, be able to skip easily anywhere on North or even South America.
Oh, really?
You know what you also need to do? Yes. You also need to bring a couple of other people with, like, a few motorhomes along, go along with you.
This leads us to Shovel 2, Shovel 3, and Shovel 4, which will be assigned names and numbers when people wish to dedicate a vehicle to the Rant Radio cult squad. The eventual dream is to have a Road Warrior-style armada that will go places. And we will set up, like, these LANs and hubs, and we'll have, like, eventually, infrared and wireless Bluetooth network systems we can run between vehicles.
Can I be the gyro captain?
You find a gyrocopter to get your ass off the ground, and you can fly it. But until that day...
No, they have one. It's called basically a Hercules heavy lift vehicle.
Here we go. Here's a good question. Hey, Rant Radio. This is from Gamerspace. How do you prepare for a show?
We get some Dr. Pepper.
And we go.
We
and some more Dr. Pepper.
Gamerspace.
Oh, the scripts are amazingly long. We have to work all week on
40 page, and then you have to
memorize
it.
This is actually worked into the script, you asking this question?
Yeah, it was.
We know you're going to ask this question. Dynamic and, like, we're on the ball.
It usually involves coming up with a new algorithm every week.
Yeah, Gamerspace is
like
a plant.
I personally basically practice tantric yoga before the show, And if you don't know what that is, why don't you go look it up?
It's like a tantric sex thing. He actually starts his orgasm just as we go on the air. And normally it takes about 2 hours, and now he's really, well,
Yeah, he's really. I mean, this is a 26-hour. Danger, danger. Is Ronan Medic all out of it, or he's gonna,
he's going to go lay down.
Going to crash? Okay.
For a little bit. He's Ronan Medic.
He's all fucked up.
He's all fucked up. Well, he's just finding a dying 11-year-old kid would
that'd fuck me up too.
Much fucking rock my world.
Oh yeah, I had a couple of ones that went that way.
Yeah, it's bad.
Actually, thanks to Ronan Medic, he talked me out of quitting my job at the hospital and pretty much also talked me out of not really, I wasn't talking about like suicidal, but I was at a depression level where I really didn't fucking care that I was alive.
That's a bad one.
I had a basically 6-year-old girl and her mother come to basically BC because, well, the girl was molested, first of all, by her father, then by her stepfather.
Send some more pictures, Nightshade.
We'll let this answer the phone.
Well, it's only been 20 minutes, so it can't
only
be
only been
20
minutes, can't be zombie. Hi, you're on What the Hell 26-Hour Marathon. Who's this?
This is Prophet Nixter.
Prophet
hey,
Nixter,
how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Kind of tired. Getting a little bit bright out here, though.
It's coming up in the east, eh?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I'm in Nebraska, but getting bright awfully early.
Fuck, what's going on?
The reason I call them, like, you're talking about all the water you need to bring. What about gas and stuff?
Oh, yeah, I have to bring gas to do
the
generators.
If you go to the Burning Man website, they give you a very, very comprehensive list of shit you've got to bring. BurningMan.com.
Okay.
And check it out if you wanna head down with us and
now's a
you've
good time.
Gotta make sure you can handle it.
People who are going to be coming, I need to know people who are going to be committed to go because I have to register everyone who's going to be in my camp.
Oh yeah.
And
just show up?
No.
No, you
have to have tickets. Tickets are like 100.
These are pretty damn expensive tickets too.
They're $160. This is very serious. If you fuck up, you die. You know what I mean? You can't screw up.
Probably why they price them so high.
Yeah.
Because nobody can just show up and go, oh, we're at Burning Man.
And, like, if I'm going to be running a fucking theme camp where people are there, I don't want anybody in the theme camp who's going to be not able to look after themselves. No one's going to get dehydrated. We have to make sure we have adequate medical in case some fucking Cenobite gets himself too fucking burned or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Leaping into the giant, basically burning symbol, man, basically.
Yeah, you know, like,
the end,
it,
yeah.
It should be it could be very, very cool, but there's an opportunity there for it to suck ass.
Yeah.
And,
we're talking about the desert.
Yeah, so I've had, you know, some, not blowing my own home, but I have had extreme wilderness survival training. And how
the other end of the extreme.
Yeah. Well, actually, between heavy, heavy snow and desert is very, very similar.
Technically, the tundra is a desert, but that's something else.
But that's not the point. But, yeah, Nixter, if you want to be involved, man, make sure you email me. And then as people are confirmed, I'll be able to delegate some responsibilities out so people are going to be heavily involved with it.
Okay.
But you've always been amazing anyway, man. You've got this fucking site going. You're working like a madman, and I've been a total fag because I haven't been able to, you know, update your get that profit thing going on. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I swear to God.
Okay.
So right on, baby. Say what the hell.
What the hell.
Right on.
All right. If anybody else wants to phone in, it's 1-877-729-7268, and you can post that in the IRC. If you have something to say, make sure you have something to say. Do not be a zombie.
Is that another one?
I'm so sullen. Oh, from Nightshade.
Oh, I think so.
A little gothy for me nowadays, but not bad.
Hey, Nightshade, you should come up and visit Sim. Sim has a thing for black hair.
Yeah.
It's true.
Natural black hair, even better, but hey, dyed is good.
Actually, I have to admit, black hair is sexy.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
And the blue hair doesn't get her first.
Yeah.
the blue hair.
It's all good. Nightshade, I wonder what time it is there, and why are you still up? Holy cow.
Like, gargoyle.
I don't know. Is she a gargoyle and she's just hanging out, or what's the fucking deal here?
Watching. The gargoyles are always watching.
Dun, dun, dun.
See, the gargoyles have their own little thing.
Oh, this could be her.
Might be.
Maybe.
One, two. Hi, you're on the What the Hell 26-Hour Special. Who's this?
This is DJ Intensity. Used to be Johnny Wild. Used to be on the show. And used to do the same thing you guys are doing right
now. Johnny Wild!
What's up?
Yeah,
What's up?
You did the 16-hour... Was it 17?
I think it was 17.
17-hour marathon on Rant Radio way back in the day.
And I did it by myself.
Yeah, all by yourself.
All by myself.
You're a wacko.
He was a wacko. That's what I thought.
Still am.
Very dedicated wacko. He did a very good show.
Have you joined Cult yet?
No, I have not.
Join at thecult.org, baby.
All right.
Johnny,
you're
Wild,
pushing your religion on people, Sean.
I'm not pushing religion on nothing. I'm fucking saving people. Is anybody still alive?
Johnny Wild, where'd you call him from?
Minnesota.
Attaboy. Were you here in B.C. for a while and then moved there?
No.
I was in San Diego.
How did he do the show?
Oh, it's all remote.
No.
It's all internet.
Back in the day, everyone used to be able to log in and broadcast their own shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We had 30 different shows.
30 different DJs.
On Rant Radio, if you could believe that. And it was hell. Hell on me.
I was one of the first.
That's right.
And he was always pretty good.
Really good.
Remember, the beautiful thing about the internet is total decentralization.
That's right. Anybody can be anywhere, and you don't even know.
Yeah.
So, is this the first time back for a long time? First time listening from way back?
Well, yeah. I've been in California for a year without a computer. I was in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
You're in the Marines?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
They treated me like shit.
They treated you like shit.
My daddy was in the Marines. He told me horror stories.
Yeah. So you're out of there now?
Yes, I am.
Fucking A, man. I'm ex-military, too. It licks bag. Now you can think for yourself. What a good idea.
Yeah.
So what's the plan now, man?
Plan now?
Yeah.
I'm back to pretty much what I was doing before.
What?
Playing nightclubs, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. What do you do for cash?
DJ at nightclubs, that kind of thing.
Oh, sorry.
Same thing.
Well, that's cool. And yeah, just kind of...
So he's a real DJ.
I'm having a rave on the 13th.
Where at?
Minnesota.
Yeah, where at?
In Minnesota?
Give it a plug.
Give it a plug, man.
It's going to be in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area.
Okay, and...
It's a rave. Sorry. Can't really advertise.
I tell you what. You know what? If you do the email to the joinatthecult.org, right?
Yeah.
You can make that thing as a partially sponsored cult event because it's a cult person putting it on. And then when you tell me, you can ICQ me, and at that point I can post it on the page. And that way any cult members who are in the area at that by will come to the rave and they can come see you.
Excellent.
That'd be the way to do it. So email that. We'll hook it up. And you're sounding pretty much like you'll probably go be a DJ. You'll probably either go Prophet or Cenobite. I'm thinking probably Cenobite if you're a rave kid. And you probably have a good time.
He's a Marine, so obviously he has, like, you know, masochism going there, too. So.
Oh, no.
Maybe a little Ronin.
I don't know. You kind of get sick of it. You get that shit drilled out of you pretty quick. I mean, it's...
So, hey, I got a question for you.
Come on, Anna.
Sure.
When is the Burning Man?
It's next August, I believe. If you go to burningman.com, they give you exact dates. It's 1 week long. Oh, it goes right into the Labor Day long weekend.
So it's not until next year?
Yeah, this is not until next
this
year.
This is
lots
summer
of
2001. So not this summer,
but next summer. There is a Burning Man every year.
All right, well, hey.
What's up?
Count me in for sure.
Count you in for sure?
Yeah, okay. On the guest list.
Okay, email me. Do the join thing, okay? And then I'll email you back, and then you email me and say, okay, make sure I'm solid, be in, and then we'll go from there, because I've got to do it in steps, just so I can keep everything in order, otherwise it all turns to fucking shit.
Lots of red tape.
No, it's not really so much red tape, but no. I need to be very correlated, and if this guy's an actual DJ, and I remember his show is fucking slayed.
Oh, it was very amazing.
Yeah, very, very,
very
cool.
Very well done.
So what I want to do is, if he's going to be down there, shit, we'll get him to DJ and shit, maybe he'll be in for it.
Yeah, the rave thing that you're thinking.
Yeah, fuck, we'll have, like, we'll set it all up, man, it'll be amazing.
All right.
So it's joinatthecult.org, and it's also on the page, www.thecult.org, with a K.
And then when you fill it all out, it's an automatic response thing. You just fill it out, and then fire it off to me, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
All right, baby, say what the hell.
What the hell.
Right on.
All right. Yeah, he was a DJ way back in
the
day.
Yeah, he's fucking long.
Yep.
Long term.
From like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, pretty much in the early days. Because I remember when he used to run. I remember when he did the 17 hours. You're like, that motherfucker's still broadcasting. Like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty buckled by
him. Did you ever realize that at that time you would one day be doing something even stupider?
Yep. 9 hours stupider than him.
Well, that's all right, though. I mean, this is the essence of hard.
I guess
that's
that
right.
Makes us the winners.
Yeah, winners
well,
in quotations.
You've got it half right.
Oh, yes, there's the legendary 007 wit, or at least half of it.
Yes. So that is the cult event. That is the one to look forward to.
This is something that I'm going to put so much fucking time and effort in. I'm probably going to sink about, oh, Christ, probably close to $6,000 of my own cash into this. I can't believe this.
So that's like pretty much the official first.
What does the Dark One
meeting.
Say about this?
She thinks it's great. She thinks it's
cool little
cool.
trip, eh?
What's that?
You still haven't met her.
I know.
Really? You went to a lot of shows like a couple months ago, right?
She's very, very, very interesting.
Elusive.
Yeah. She's very... No, she's not elusive at all.
I know.
She is actually one of the nicest people I know. And I'm not saying that just because...
You're just saying that, Doc.
Because it's like Sean's wife. I'm being honest. Because seriously, there's very few... I love all of my friends. But, like, I don't think any of us are getting into heaven, okay? I'll be completely honest.
On a relative scale.
On a relative
she's at the front of the line. If she doesn't get in, we bail.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, right, we're not even showing up.
If she don't... If
like, she
don't,
budges in the line if, and they let her through.
If she don't...
I'm on the chain gang for that escalator to hell.
You're building the escalator to hell.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm building an escalator
to hell.
That's got me working.
Working for my money. Hoping that it set me free.
So anyway, we got this. Yeah, so that's the plan for Burning Man. Burning Man is going to be fucking raw.
First official big cult meeting.
And the goal, the major thing, if people can't make it, the number one thing you should be doing is you should be spreading the virus.
Spreading the virus.
You should be talking to people about cult, letting people know what the organization is about, which is, of course, about organizing the counterculture and internet subculture.
And that was an item on my list, is for somebody to make up a generic cult sheet that explains pretty basically what it's about. Very simple.
Oh, it's in the fact
and
on the page.
Yeah, and just put the website. Something people can hand out, print out from home, hand it out.
There's
whatever.
A guy in Wisconsin who did that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember his name.
Well, I need to put it up on the site then. Eh?
Yeah, there's a few, but again, a lot of this, I'm a little bit leery to have. You know,
go to the airport,
forms.
Shave your head.
You know, and doing all that, because a lot of it's all word of mouth. I mean, we've been up for 2 months.
Yeah.
We've had close to 10,000 hits in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got a goddamn domain name.
Yep.
The rest of it's been all word of mouth.
Yep.
And Ellis from Geek News has been, you know, bathing in
around.
His cathode rays. and you know, I mean, the guy...
Monitor tan going on.
Oh, yeah, fuck. You know, he has no hair, you know.
It's all fallen out. His body has said, I don't need this hair anymore to protect me. I'm inside 24 hours a day.
Seriously, I'd love to talk to him on the phone. He must talk like Ellis. Ellis.
Has he phoned in?
He's got, like, glowing
ever phoned
red,
in?
Big fucking red
ever
finger.
Phoned
What's
in?
That?
Ellis. He's never phoned in, has he?
I don't think so. I think Ellis might actually be a sentient
a robot,
being.
Yeah.
No, I think he's like a piece of internet information that became alive.
Well, he's on all the time, you know.
I don't think he's actually, you know.
A human being?
He is actually, I am Project 2501, you know.
His ICQ is offline right now. Maybe he's like repowering up
he could
or
be
something.
Sleeping.
I have a question. I wonder how many people are actually on the internet that are like on the ICQ or listening to us, have us on, who have actually fallen asleep, like passed out, slipped into a coma, and basically...
If you've fallen asleep, please phone in.
Yeah, exactly. It's everyone who's actually...
How are we going to tell
everyone
this?
Who's actually on the IRC, just basically type something so that we know you're awake.
Type a, I'm awake.
I'm awake.
I am completely surprised that there are this many people.
I am surprised, too. I mean, it's like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in some areas. In Newfoundland, it's 7 o'clock.
And these guys are fucking hard.
It's 3:30
like
right now.
These guys are hard, man. They're sitting there, and, you know.
What are
wow.
we?
Awake, awake, awake.
What's that?
What are we? If they're hard, what are we?
I have no idea.
Oh, stupid.
Stupid.
It's a kiss.
Yeah, we're status. I don't know.
Radio whores. We're doing this for free.
What yeah. I'm amazed at is the fact that we're about 7 hours into this now, and we're still actually semi-coherent and still semi-entertaining. At
yeah.
least.
Well, actually, my bad stand, I've been pretty quiet the last 2 hours, because between the hours of 2 and 4 is my bad time.
Your downtime, yeah. recharge
well,
time.
Well, actually, biologically, this is an interesting fact.
They actually say that 3 o'clock in the morning is the lowest point of your...
Well, between 2 and 4.
2 yeah, and 4?
Well, that's why they stage an
we're
attack.
We're almost over then.
Basically, your... What's it called?
Your biological clock is as low as recharge point between
circadian
hours.
Rhythms? Circadian rhythms,
well,
yeah.
Well, then at 4 o'clock, you should pick right back up. Right?
It can. Once you hit that wall, you'll be fine. Yep. So that's why...
Pop some more ephedrine.
No.
No more ephedrine. Bad thing. Bad.
You actually have to read the warnings, right? Yeah. It means
I'm not,
one pill
when I,
a
when
day.
I asked Ronan Medic, what does it mean when your head tingles? I was not making a joke.
Yeah, that's sleep depth.
No, I've had sleep dep. I've never had my head tingle before.
Well, sleep dep with a little bit of ginkgo. The ginkgo probably helps there, too. But anyway.
We're drinking a lot less Dr. Pepper than I thought we would.
I told you it would. It'd be hard the first little while. But there's tons for many shows.
How many we've actually
Well, you can see it on the wall there. Just,
but we didn't have all of those before. Did you guys drink all of them?
There were some from previous shows. Not very many, though. I would say about six from a previous show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've only drank two, so. I'm not a heavy drinker.
I've had about five.
I don't know. I think I've had about six.
Who's calling in?
Who's calling in? Hi, you're on the What the Hell 26-Hour Marathon. Who's this?
This is Gargoyle Nightshade.
Hi, Nightshade.
Hi, Nightshade. First time calling
in.
You're a radio
lady.
Virgin.
Yeah.
I've
never listened to the radio before.
No, we're talking about...
on the radio.
What's going on, man? What's up?
Oh, I'm tired.
All right, what time is it there?
6:15.
What are you doing up?
Nothing.
Where are you calling us from?
Too much.
Where are you calling us from?
Smoking way too many cigarettes.
Oh, you're a smoker?
Where are you phoning in from?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Sounds like a party town.
I don't know. We're not the, we don't have any tumbleweeds or, you know, horses and cowboys and shit, but...
Right on. So you enjoying the show tonight or what?
Yeah.
Is it? I hope
Are we still entertaining or are we boring as hell now?
You're entertaining.
Okay, well that's good.
That's good. We like to keep the intensity up, even at 4 a.m.
I actually, I have to say, I am slowing down. I haven't threatened to kill anyone or basically asked
at least a half hour.
At least half an hour. Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. People, you can ask some questions.
Is the fact that my hair is not really black? Is that really that obvious?
That it's not naturally black?
Yeah, because I'm a natural blonde.
Oh, really?
Dirty, dishwater, dusting blonde.
Okay, now what we're going to...
I guess it was obvious because we went, well, it's not real.
Okay, you have very fair skin from those photographs?
That's probably it, yeah.
Your facial features do not match your hair.
You very nearly caused a spit take from Ronan Medic with that comment.
Yeah. The thing is that
your features do not match your hair.
I have some stupid girly coworkers that try to put fake tanning lotion on me all the time, and they say you need a tan, you should go tanning. And
you know what? Okay, you look like a very sexy industrial goth chick. What? Sorry, I'm being straight with you.
It's not that. It's just I don't know.
Why? What's wrong with that?
That's what you look like in that picture.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with that.
Go find yourself a book called, it's a role-playing game called Vampire. Okay, White Wolf book. And in there, there's any number of drawings which you would match quite easily into any of the Brouillard clan. I mean, you look really cool. I like goth chicks myself.
Very sexy.
Yeah, I think it's very sexy. So, if you're asking
me
what...
I'm depressed.
Pardon me?
I'm not depressed.
So what? That doesn't
be a happy goth.
Okay, hang on. Okay, now. This is a misnomer. This is a misnomer for the goth crowd. People think that goths are always depressed. This is not so.
Goth is dark.
Goth is dark and romantic.
Yes.
In the traditional sense of the word,
yeah,
romantic.
The goth comes from the term gothic. Gothic romances are things like Wuthering Heights. They're basically, it's supposed to be bigger than life. It's supposed to be dramatic. It's supposed to be dark, foreboding. It's not supposed to be
now,
depressing.
I have nothing to be dramatic about. Okay, I have one thing to be dramatic about.
And that
What's
is?
That?
My boyfriend's been in China for 4.5 months.
What's he doing in China?
China.
What's he doing there?
He's going to school. He speaks Chinese.
Okay.
Is he Chinese?
No. He's very white and very blonde and... He's a poster child for the Aryan race.
I see. That's just a figure of speech, of course.
Except that he is hazel-eyed, you know.
That's got to be pretty hard on you, I guess. Having those long-distance relationship type things happen suck ass.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not that hard because he lives in Buffalo with Gargoyle Apoc. Apoc's there right now.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. Apoc's over there. He was talking to me before he left.
That's right.
Ah, yes. Now it's all coming together for me now. Apoc said that you'll have to excuse me. I get a little bit of email. Apoc mentioned that you'd be signing up and joining, and he spoke very highly of you.
Yay. Sometimes I think he doesn't like me.
No, he thinks you're pretty fucking cool.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting because he's got a nickname.
What is it?
Moody Millie.
Moody
Millie, yeah.
Oh, fuck it. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. But I'm glad I'm dating his roommate, not him. Let me just put it that way.
Oh, come on. No flaming.
I'm not flaming. It's just that he's... He doesn't have baggage, but he has... If he wanted to be a baggage kind of guy, he'd have every right.
Well, that's kind of a statement. That's for the positive.
Yeah, he's had a fun life.
Well, there we go. I mean, you've probably had a pretty fun life yourself.
Oh, not as fun as his life. I don't know. I mean, he's got more reason to be a beautiful goth industrial chick than I do.
What's that say?
Well, I mean, for the, we're just watching this animation that just got sent in. It's called Sean Kennedy the Fucking Man, kind of a speed fade out thing going on here. Anyway, no, it's all very cool, and I think it's very neat because of your particular job that you do. You've got a lot of knowledge in areas which I know nothing about, which I think is very cool.
Oh, I love that job, but I hate it as much as I love it.
Why
kind of like people feel about New York City that live there. I don't know.
Yeah, why do you know what you're talking about, sweetheart.
Why do you hate the job?
Oh my God, because this didn't affect you, but Wednesday night, El Atlantic had a huge fiber outage.
Okay. I had that happen not too long ago, actually. Someone cut an OC3 line, but anyway.
Yeah, this was an OC48.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. They tried to blame the company that I work for.
Why?
Because...
Wait, how does an OC48 go down? Did somebody cut it, or what happened?
Okay, my company doesn't own any OC48s. We don't own anything bigger than a T1, I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe a T3, but definitely not an OC48.
Big,
because
big fat lines
all we do, we're just an SS7 hub provider. We don't do voice lines. We don't do ISP. We just do, you know, standard stuff, IS41, calling name, class, all that fun stuff.
Right.
And the fact is that our two STP regional partners in Pennsylvania, Dever and Effort at Teleco, they're not our STPs. We have several of our own STPs, but they're just a regional partner that we connect to.
Right.
To get to some of the people on the East Coast.
Right.
And it basically killed every link going to one of the STPs in the pair. And that sent a lot of really bad messages to the other STP in the pair. So it basically shut down the pair. We couldn't dial in. Our gateways weren't down. It wasn't our fault.
And it just dominoed from there, and it just went all for shit.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. People are throwing feces at the wall and making monkey noises because they have no idea what you're talking about, but that's...
Exactly.
No, but Sim and I have a problem. All right, in any case...
Well, they tried to say that it was the fault of our STPs.
Right.
Our STPs had just failed. When they knew damn well that they had an OC48 outage because some construction worker guy in Lancaster, you know, was digging a ditch or whatever and dug up some cable and said, oops, and tried to cover it back up.
Yeah, because cable, you know, just kind of put it back where it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
everything leaking. So.
Everything will be okay if I just put it back.
There's no raw sewage coming out of this cable, so it's all okay.
Did he bury it again and run away?
I don't know. If it was me, and I did that, I would probably run away. But I don't know. We've had some fibers go down because of beavers chewing through them.
Fucking beavers.
But with technology that grand, that they could try to shield it a little better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Beavers take down the internet.
The horror. Beavers.
I believe that the beaver is a noble animal. being Canadian.
I'm sorry. I fought against the vermin.
We run
Kong.
The internet.
I fought against the vermin Kong in the GVRD wars. Okay, I'm sorry. Beavers are evil.
Beavers are a noble animal. Special forces, they do
our
damn. I mean, I'll describe my beaver war story in a few moments.
All right, so is that all you wanted to check, is to make sure your hair looked okay?
No.
I didn't mean for that to come out quite as shallow as it sounded.
You're talking about the shovel one?
Uh-huh, yep.
I didn't quite catch the beginning of it, but I wanted to tell you about a fleet of cars that my friends are designing.
A fleet of cars?
Yeah, there's three of them so far. They're called staff cars.
Okay.
The first one
The right head staff,
first one
guys.
Is a Chrysler Cordova. It's like a 1978 Cordova.
Okay. It's an armored vehicle.
It's a rich Corinthian leather.
Yeah. Rich Corinthian leather.
Okay. So my friend Conrad spray paints the car flat black.
Right. Sounds good.
He puts these two huge long tailpipes that come out from the catalytic converter. They come up just straight vertical from right in front of the back wheel well.
Right on.
No muffler, right? Just the straight pipes right from the converter?
Yeah, they're just like 90-degree angles.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Just two 90-degree angles. And they've got to have a total length of about 10 feet apiece.
It sounds like basically a jet plane taking off, right?
Yeah.
If someone put wings on a tractor, right?
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
So in any case, so what are they doing with these cars?
Okay, well, staff really doesn't have any meaning, and that's the whole point. You know, people ask them about their cars, they say, I just work here. And they want to design a fleet of these cars. Now, my roommate's got the coolest one. He's got a 78 Pontiac Bonneville.
Okay.
Zipped all the badges off of it, painted it flat black, put a clear coat on it. Our other friend is a welder. I mean, not professionally. He just...
Yeah, he can weld, yeah.
And he made this huge IndyCar spoiler. Like 78 pounds. It's huge. It sticks up, and you put it on this Bonneville. You can't open the trunk. I mean, you can open it, but it's going to take, like...
Three guys.
Five room sticks to hold it open. Yeah, exactly. And he's got this huge IndyCar spoiler on it. Just today, he came home with this old, really tiny portable word processor.
Okay.
Helped him rip off all the keys, spray paint them OSHA, official OSHA orange.
Okay.
This is the colors for his car. OSHA orange. All the trim is OSHA orange. He's got, like, reflectors on the thing. The keys are OSHA orange.
This thing sounds sexy.
It's black. And he's going to put this in the dash. Like, he's going to rip out the dashboard, like the glove compartment. I'm sorry, I'm tired. He's ripping out the glove compartment, shoving in this word processor, and it's supposed to look like some kind of Bond car or something.
I think it's great.
His theme is safety. I don't know.
Safety.
Okay, Nightshade, I hate to tell you this. This is being brutally honest here. Your friends have built the Transformers, okay? I'm not making this up, okay? I mean, I think that one was called Bumblebee, but I can't remember. We'll have to ask Ronan Medic. He remembers this better than I do.
Most definitely was not. That was most definitely not Bumblebee. However, what's your idea? You were talking about Shovel 1 there, and this correlates with them, or is this just that they did something cool with cars?
Well, I just wondered if that's, like, you just want, like, a fleet of Shovel 1 cars or just, like, one Shovel 1 car, like the Ecto-1 or the Batmobile or what?
Oh, no. Okay, let me just... No, that's fair. That's a fair question. No, actually, Shovel 1 is entirely about function more than form.
Goes around giving people shovels who need them. Shovel fodder.
No. Shovel 1 is going to be the mobile rant radio cult studio.
Yeah.
It's a transmitter.
Wait a minute, and the reason why it's called...
There's a germ of an idea there. Sean could travel around the country dispensing shovels and be Johnny Shovelseed.
Exactly what he's going to do.
In all honesty, what it's going to be is it's going to be the mobile rant radio series. I chose the name Shovel 1 because all the cult stuff, generally, I don't know, it's kind of been revolving around the shovel. So the first thing to call would be Shovel 1. Now, if somebody else had a vehicle they dedicated, like say you got your hands on a van.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be part of major cult functions, and anyone could do this. If they got a van and they're like, yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this thing up so I can go to cult functions and I'll have, like, this camperized van that'll show up and we'll have, like, CB radios and frequencies and voice procedures and everything all worked out, and then you would be assigned the call sign of Shovel 2. And then eventually it would go out, there'd be Shovel 3, Shovel 4, Shovel 5, until we get so many shovels that you have, like, Shovel 17, Shovel 19, stuff like that.
And there. 66. This is a fleet.
It's going to be a fleet. And eventually, once we get over a million members, we'll have everybody send in $100 and we'll put up satellites.
Awesome.
And that's the idea. I want to have open source satellites. So, and it just goes from there, and then we'll eventually set up our bars, and it'll be great. And then we'll buy a Nike missile base and breed two-headed cats and build robots to take over the Earth. That's the business plan. Yeah.
I don't have a staff car, in case you were wondering.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I'm like the responsible one. I don't know. I've had crappy cars the whole time. The whole... 4 years I've been driving.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Point of order, Nightshade. It's over. It's like past 6 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to us, and you're the responsible one. Think through your statement there, girl.
I don't have to work till Monday at 3 p.m. I'm fine.
Okay. I'm okay. I can handle it.
I can quit it. Stop anytime I want to.
So what are you... When's Buddy coming back there, your blonde-haired, hazel-eyed Aryan boy there?
Actually, he's coming back on Saturday.
Wow.
The fun thing is, he's got 3 flights to get home.
Oh, yeah.
His first one's from Beijing to Vancouver.
Really?
Yeah.
How long is his stopover?
Let me find out. I'm finding that out. I'll tell you the rest of the story.
Is APOC going to be with him or no?
No, we try to do it that way, but APOC kind of, I don't know, he kind of took his time planning his flights, because he had to get his visa in like 3 weeks.
So what you're saying is he may not have his papers in order.
Get his visa, get his passport, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so would you like somebody to meet him at the airport down there?
In Vancouver?
Yeah.
I mean, let me see how long he's going to be there. What did I do with that thing? I better go to Byron's computer because it's faster. Hold on, it's going to be loud because that's where I've got the radio.
Okay, we're holding.
Turning down the radio. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, okay, he goes to Vancouver and then he's going to fly to Chicago. And he's going to fly to Buffalo. But the fun thing is that I fly to Chicago. I have like an hour wait. His plane lands. An hour later, we take the same plane to Buffalo.
Now, so you're shuffling off to Buffalo at that point.
Terribly awesome to you. But, I don't know. Before I met him, I'd never flown before. So I have like this dual feeling about airports. I mean, I'm either coming to see him or he's coming to see me. Or... one of us is leaving, and we're really sad.
Oh, okay, so, hang on a second. You live in a different state than your boyfriend, is what you're telling us.
Yeah.
How'd you meet this guy?
On the internet. He put up a Hotmail ad for a pen pal.
Okay, hang on a second. Sim, different state.
And he got more than a pen pal.
What's that?
He got more than a pen pal.
Apparently.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
I started writing to him in August of last year, so almost a year.
Oh, that's cool.
But we didn't meet until September.
And things are going well?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
So, excellent. So.
If I were the guy, I would propose.
Different states, Sim.
Because I have more money because he's still in college.
Different states.
You what?
I have more money because he's still in college.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Okay, we're going to hang up on you because you've been... wasting all my money.
If you ever go back to college, if you ever have to do the whole high school college thing over again,
not me.
Here's a tip: don't graduate at 16 and then go to college and get out of college at 18 and then go to work.
Why?
Because then
you're locked in.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm 19 years old. What should I be doing? What are most 19-year-olds doing? They're
fucking their life up.
Attending kind of parties and fucking their lives up and drinking and puking and drinking
so,
and puking.
So what you're saying is you're going through midlife crisis at 19, Nightshade?
Excuse me?
You're going through a midlife crisis at 19?
I don't know if it's a midlife, but most times I feel some indefinite age between 25 and 45.
Well, you got to understand a couple of things you got to realize there, Nightshade. I mean, there's a lot of questions. I mean, I could get into some real deep psyche val here, but I tell you what, why don't you give me an email, okay, and we'll talk about this, because this is a very common thing, and I'll get you off the air, and then we'll talk about this on the air, is where a lot of people who are in cult feel very much the same way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So say what the hell, and we're going to hang up on you.
What the hell?
Right on.
Yay.
Just point of order there. you know, just because you've, like, done something doesn't mean your life is over. The day it is too late to change what you've done is about 8 hours after you've passed away, okay?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I am not
change
making that
time.
Up.
Do whatever you want.
There is nothing stopping you. Well, other than the police and the authorities, but that's besides the point. And that's some of the things cults trying to change.
No, we're not. That's totally a misnomer. Strike that last statement. What's I think Nightshade is actually expressing is the fact that, you know, she's 19 years old. She got out of school 16. She hit the books really hard. She's been motivated in a direction where, you know, it's been towards career, goal. She goes to college, gets her, gets her little diploma there, degree, whatever it is. And that's a lot of work. I mean, it's a shitload of work. You got to have a lot of math. You got to have all the stuff going on. And it's very, very difficult. And yet somehow throughout all of this, you lose touch with kind of who you are. You kind of lose touch with what's important. And
felt like you missed it.
Yeah, and it goes along with the statement is what I said in the Wired interview. In our generation now, the Gen X or the post-Gen X, we weren't raised, we were distracted. And all of a sudden we became adults and we all wondered what the fuck happened and how did this occur. And we wind up trapped in sort of a zone where you're sitting there thinking, is this my life? Is this what I'm going to be? And you wind up kind of lost a little bit. And more than anything else, you kind of feel sort of like a leaf in a whirlwind.
Mr. Echo again.
And it kind of hurts.
Hi, Aaron. What the hell? 26-hour marathon. Who's this?
Who do you think? Mr. Echo.
Mr. Echo. I called it. I don't think any of my friends are up this late.
Yep.
Only the ones that are here.
Anyway, I got something to add on to your little thing going on right now.
Sure.
Do not join the fucking military. Whatever you do, be part of the fucking government any which way possible.
Oh, yeah.
Echo is in the military right now.
Do not fucking do it.
Oh, I'm all over that, Echo. I went the Canadian route, and I'm right there with you, buddy.
The one of the words of wisdom my father gave me was, don't join the military. You got a brain there, kid. Don't fucking do it. If a war happens and it's up to the death of your country or that, then you basically serve. Otherwise, stay the fuck out of the military.
Yeah. Nothing but a loser, Cruiser.
I wanted to do some college, but the career field that I'm in, I'm fucked. There is practically zero time to take college, and it would take like fucking like 6 to 8 years to get an associate or even higher in my job career field.
That's brutal. Okay, dude. Good point. Say what the hell.
What the hell?
Right on.
All right.
Yeah, and that's another good point, too, is that, and this, again, leading back to the distraction, most of this, it's kind of like the radio rant that I did, where you hear something often enough, and eventually you begin to believe it. And, you know, Goebbels.
Goebbels.
The Nazi propaganda minister, that was, you know, his big motto. I mean, German people are actually really beautiful, kind, gentle, loving people. They're very hard people. But they party hard, they play hard, they work hard. But they're not evil monsters. Yet what happened was is that they played on the emotions of the people and using the media programmed them. Now there's a bit of
it's the big lie technique. No matter how outrageous it might be, if you repeat something
often enough and long enough,
like condition people to believe it, just like Top 40 radio.
Yep.
It sticks.
Join at thecult.org.
So what's a good gag? But in all seriousness, you'll sit there, and if you stop for a minute and fishbowl, step outside of the whole thing and look around. What do you have? We have a society where we have young people who are being pushed to make more money. Now, in all the media, everywhere you see, hand-me-downs are frowned upon. Everything you see tells you that you want to have nice stuff. Yet with the wages and the cost of living that exists today, we cannot have nice stuff. So then our self-image begins to decrease because we can't afford the clothes, the car, the image, the status that we desire. Yet along comes the credit card, and the credit card enables us to live beyond our means. And all of a sudden we get to look good, smell good, but be dug so far in debt that we become a slave. And what are we really a slave to here? Are we being a slave to corporations? No, not exactly. No, we are a slave to corporations because of the threat of losing the standard of living, which we've been told we need.
We need. We have to have this.
You have to have a new car. You have to have new clothes. And when you take a step back and you look at it,
It's bullshit.
It's all bullshit. You don't need to spend $400 on a pair of sunglasses. That's completely
basically
fucked.
$9 right. Will basically cover your eyes a lot. It's just as fucking well.
Now,
they'll look cool too.
And you can have just as much of a cool time. Now, but it is far more reaching than this. What Nightshade was talking about is an emotion which many people feel. What I felt, and they wind up turning towards Taoist philosophy.
Disassociation.
They turn towards Taoist philosophies. They turn towards ideas about, the Tao of things, how just to sort of accept your surroundings and move on. And they begin searching. And this is why also that you see a large insurgence of actually damaging cults with a C, where these people are, promising, spiritual fulfillment and that aspect of their lives. Now, spiritualism has always been a huge part of everyone's life, all throughout history. That's where drugs were used. Drugs have been used throughout native tribes. And this is all based in spiritualism. You got your physical self, your emotional sense, and, of course, the spiritual self. Whether or not you believe in, God, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about your emotional well-being beyond that of the desired companionship for a mate or for another person. Now, Sim and I get to fulfill more or less our spiritual needs through Rant Radio, through talking with people, through the idea that we are making a difference, through we are reaching people. So that
I think we are.
And we are, evidently.
People
are.
Phone in. They listen to us.
People all over the world who send us shit for free. They're putting in time and effort, and it is the most satisfying thing.
For them and us.
To see
this. We get this stuff, and we can put it up on the page, and they go, wow, I made that, and I get recognition for it.
And somebody has appreciated this.
Yep.
Well, that's great, Sean. That's a lot of double talk, and now I know, what seems to be a problem. What the fuck do I do about this, right? What do? You're sitting there, you're spinning, you're like, oh my God, is this my life? Why am I not out having fun? Why isn't my life a beer commercial? Well, the reason why that is because you must understand that everything that comes out of the God box, the great living eye, is a lie.
Oh, shit.
Everything that comes out of that thing is a blatant, screaming, flaming lie.
It's what they think make you think you're missing.
They think the majority wants to fucking see. Not you.
That's not entirely true. There's like maybe one half of a percent of a percent
of
something that's like on PBS or something like that.
Yes, but
where a glimmer of the truth actually strikes through the void.
Yeah.
Yep.
However, the rest of the time, it's whatever Edward R. Murrow said about the box.
But it's
and
not
that is, without meaningful content, it's just lights and wires in a box.
Yeah, and when you look around, it's not just so much. I mean, if it was just the TV, that'd be fine. But you look at society, and more than this, you have three different venues that this is coming at you. You have the television media, the moving media. You have the magazine media, the printed word, which is always around. That's a very strong influence. But the strongest of the three are other people who are brainwashed.
Yep.
And who sit there like your friends at work, Nightshade, who are trying to give you tanning cream. Why in the fuck are they trying to give you tanning cream?
Yeah.
You have beautiful pale skin. Why in the world would you want to change it? Why? Well, it doesn't look natural. What? Can you
sorry,
think,
you,
excuse
you,
me?
Do you know what a tan is?
Look
tan
natural.
Is damaged skin cells.
Your skin is dying. Everything's fucked.
Trying to
you are feeling
yourself.
You're feeling kind of lost, kind of confused, kind of like, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck is going on? And rightly so, because what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with what you're feeling, what you're going through. That's not the problem here. The problem here is that you have partial rejection. Partial rejection will tear you apart. If you are sitting there and you've already understood the fact that most of the people on the planet are sheeple and they're fucking idiots. It's not their fault. It's just they have been lived inside the mind. It's kind of like the Matrix thing where they kind of are partially unplugged. And it's better if people are raised rebellious. Again, drawing a Matrix parallel, when a person reaches a certain age, they cannot get unplugged from the Matrix. They cannot get unplugged from the social norms around it because it will kill them. Because the shock of it would destroy the pillars that support their reality. It becomes unstable and they fall. So what you need to do is where you're at right now is a very precarious stage where you have to make a choice between the fact that there's only one direction you can go. You can either stay where you're at, trying to please people, trying to make yourself socially accepted, being concerned with what other people think about you and follow Voltaire's line of saying to care what other people think is to be controlled by them, or B, you can take the logical, strong, feminine approach of saying, I do not need it. I do not need this. I do not need approval from others. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my hair. I wear my hair like this because I like it. I like my clothing. I like who I am. And I believe that the entire thing is basically a lie. And once you do that, you will find support from making that decision. If people say you're a failure, fine. Fuck you. I'm a failure. Now I'm free to do whatever it is I please to do, and I cannot be judged. You can try as hard as you can to follow the impossible image of heroes that have been set before you that are impossible to attain, or you can simply try to be yourself and experience joy in that way. And
Shakespeare said, of this, of all, to thine own self be true.
Of course, it was a fool who said that, but...
Now the point is
but that
Nightshade,
wasn't entirely the point.
The point is, Nightshade, you got yourself a decent guy there that you've been seeing for a while, you know, and you got a year and a half in there. I don't know anything about your relationship with this guy. I wouldn't dare to. You seem happy, right on. I think that's great. Long distance relationships
important.
Long distance relationships can be very hard.
The point you were making there about other people saying, you know, you're a failure and whatever.
Yep.
By what standard? By the hollow models that the TV holds
is,
up.
Is anyone a winner? I mean, in order to be a failure, there must be a winner. There must be success.
Yep.
Yet no one has actually defined the limit of success. And all the people who do, look at Kurt Cobain. Boom. Oh, thank you. Kurt, kabang. You know, he's gone.
Yeah, he's adored by millions and he still kills himself.
He hit the musician's lottery. He became a multi-platinum selling artist.
Yeah.
And he still wasn't any fucking happier than when he was poor and living in a garage.
Right. I mean, there's lots of...
He was so fucking unhappy that he stuck his whole head in front of a shotgun and ended it.
So where does this go? What are we saying here? What we're saying here is the fact that you need to stop, turn everything off. Turn everything off. Turn all the machines off. Go sit in the darkness and think about what you are and who you are. And in that darkness, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Sometimes that is like a birthing process which will occur. I had this happen to me. Okay, I had this happen to me, and ironically enough, this also ties in with Mr. Echo, when I was in the Army. When I joined the Army, I was all keen on being Mr. Army Guy. It was my goal to be a killer. And the advantage to being a killer would be the fact that a killer is very noble, because a killer does not respond to the rules of a king. A king will make a law, but a killer will walk through his land and ignore the law, would be able to kill whoever he chooses, so all killers are treated with respect. This is the aspect of the Roman and of the masterless samurai. Now, this was where my mindset was. I was very good at cadets, and when I went through my basic training, I was top male physical candidate, yada, 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 walked on water. I was the keen gung-ho guy. Now, for whatever reason, when I reached battle school, I did it in a building called C5 in Canadian Forces Base Shiloh, which is the coldest populated base in the world. Now, there's other ones that are colder, like Alert and whatnot, and some of the ones in Alaska, but they don't have the population base that Shiloh did. And Shiloh, because of the wind chill factor of where it was located, would hit minus 90. Now, when I was in this place...
It's minus 90 centigrade.
Yeah. So, when I was in this place, what happened was I was elected to be someone drummed out of the course. I was told at the end of the course why this was happening. There's a lot of reasons due to if you decide to drum someone out, it builds morale in the rest of the platoon because they are able to deem that somebody didn't make it. It's very old training tagging perfected by the British who invented propaganda. And what we need to understand is that they decided to effectively... You know, they had to break me so that I would fail. And to do this, they passed me back and forth between five or six. This is not a stop story. This is just a statement of fact of what happened. They passed me back and forth between about these five different section commanders, one of which used to be a sergeant, but who tried to kill a recruit and was then demoted to the rank of Master Bombardier. His name was Dick Elson, and he lives in Shiloh. And what happened was that good old Dickie boy there, he decided he was very, very good. Now, the interesting thing here is Dick is a newfie. And my father's a newfie, and I lived in fear of my father. So the interesting thing happened every time that Dick would yell at me, it's kind of like you got that, oh, it's my dad thing going on, and all of a sudden you're 5 years old, and my mind does fucking cartwheels. And I was destroyed to the point where the Sean Kennedy, who existed from the age of 1973 up until that point in 94, which is when this occurred, died in a building, C5, in a laundry room. And for a long time there, I was a ghost of my former self. The only reason why I didn't go hang myself was because I was too tired to get out of bed and bend a coat hanger into a noose. And from that point, what I had to do is I had to completely rebuild myself as a person. Now, this is a very, very difficult thing. However, it's a very positive thing. Because in doing so, you begin to realize the amount of lies and things that happen in everyday life. For example, the tie to family. The family tie. Everyone thinks that the family's a big thing. This is a complete lie. Blood doesn't mean shit. I mean, it's very nice that these people gave birth to you and everything, but there's absolutely no ties there. It's a tradition. Traditions can be good. The values and the morals behind the traditions are good. However, traditions, if everyone followed traditions, we'd all still live in caves. If everyone followed traditions, music would not progress. There would be no art. Tradition is an enforcement of rules based over time. Now, from it, and you will not make any progression unless you have a destruction of older rules. So, from building C5, I built myself into a person, did a lot of reading. This is when I ran into Jella Biafra, Noam Chomsky, began to read some Russian literature, and reinvented myself as who I was. And then gradually, other people in the Army, you'll find that when people meet the point when they realize their lives are a failure, they have to do one of two things. They can take the easy way out and crawl into a bottle, which is what many of them do. And Echo will attest to this. That's why there's so many drunks in the Army, is because they realize that everything they believed in their whole life was a lie, and they will never be the lie that was sold to them. So they can either reinvent themselves and go the harder route, or they can, in fact, rebuild. And rebuilding is the harder of the two. Now, Nightshade, you have gone halfway through this, okay? You would occupy your days and your time. I mean, you've got a very established position at a very early age. You're 19 years old, and you've got a high-knowledge position. Okay, I don't know much about you other than what I've got on the questionnaire, but I'm going to venture a few guesses here. Maybe I'm way off. I could be totally wrong, but I'm going to venture a few guesses here, okay? You've got, you're 19 years old, you're a female, and you've dyed your hair black. You're self-conscious about your self-image, and in order to get over a lot of problems and a lot of things in your life, what you've done is you've obsessed yourself with work and study. Okay? You find yourself looking, feel yourself sometimes that, in a lot of times, you're not as strong as you'd like to be, you're not as confident as you'd like to be, and you'd like to be more confident. But the problem is that you have no method of reassurance. Again, you weren't raised, you were distracted. All of a sudden, you're an adult, you're 19 years old, everyone else is getting drunk and at frat parties, and even though you know it's stupid, you know it's wrong, you want to be out there getting drunk too. You want to be out there and, you know, dating some guy and running around in the rain and making love in the rain and doing all this crazy shit that we've been told 19-year-olds are supposed to do. Now, this is true. This is true that you can choose to do this. You can choose to do it in a safe and conscious fashion where you can sit there and go, you know, I'm going to go see my boyfriend and we're going to go for a walk and we're going to sit in the park and we're going to breathe and we're going to have a good, decent time together. But you must do it for the right reasons. You must do it for you and for your identification of yourself. If you do not do this, if you try to live up to an image which has been projected to you through a media source, okay, you will reach nothing but emptiness from that. And that is, in essence, what many, many people, across the internet, across the world, and the young people in the in the post-Generation X will find, is that they're trying so hard to live up to images which are lies. And we have to recognize them as lies and just recognize that we as ourselves are already successful. And now it's okay. You can be happy. It's okay. You can be happy with yourself. If you don't have a good job, that's all right. It'll come. If it doesn't come, that's okay too. What is a good job? You need to make a little bit of money so you find things that give you pleasure. We don't make any money here at Rant Radio. I'm not getting paid. I got no fucking degree. I mean, I never went to university. Shit. The only reason why I got the job I do is because Sumerian handed to me on a fucking silver plate. Okay, and I had to fight tooth and nail in order to get where I'm at with my computer knowledge now. Dak's absolutely right. 6 months ago, I was throwing shit at the walls. Okay, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. There's your web server, Sean. That would be a web server. I'll just put a yellow sticky on that web server. Okay, we're good. Moving right along. You know, and I had to fucking cut my teeth on that, which is a good way to do it. Everybody knows that's the best way to learn. You dropped into a complete meat grinder, and you have to fuck it up. But what there comes a point where you've met all your goals. You've done everything you want to do. I've been assigned my goals. Okay, I'm 19. I'm 16. I got out of school. I got good grades. My next goal, of course, I have to go to college. Okay, you've gone to college. I have to get a good job. Now you've got a good job. You're making good money, but you feel empty. You feel empty inside because you've got nothing, because you have no definition of self. And from that definition of self, this is the most important thing.
You've done nothing for you.
And you've got to understand, you've got to stop the distractions. You've got to stop the distractions that have raised you. And you've got to look to yourself. And be happy with yourself. Accept yourself for who you are. Do you like your black hair? Fucking A. Dye your hair black. Because it doesn't matter. Body augmentation. Body augment. It's your body. It's your body. You want to get a nipple ring? Go hard. You want to go out, make love to your boyfriend in the rain? Fucking do it, man. Do it. You got one quarter, okay? One quarter. One quarter goes in the machine. The game is going to be over, okay? So when the game ends, you got to make sure that you play it as hard as you could. And you got to make sure you do the things that's right. Think about it. Everything you do, will it matter in 50 years? No. But you want to be able to look back and realize, yeah, when I was a young, beautiful woman, I went out and I had fun. I went out and I did things. Maybe someone weren't so smart. Maybe I shouldn't have dropped ecstasy and fucked with my boyfriend all in the apartment all weekend. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but it was enjoyable. It was stimulating, and I had a great time. And that is where you've got to be. You've got to stop distracting yourself and lock down into the definition of who you are. I mean, I'm just shooting in the dark here.
Sean.
But that's just me.
Thank you.
For what?
Do you remember, about 8 years ago, we had a conversation where you said...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What do you think of me, Doug?
Well, it was longer than 8 years ago.
Was it longer than 8 years ago?
I'm 26. We had that conversation when I was 15. That was 11 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Feel old.
Thank Feel you. Old. And you basically didn't talk to me for how long afterwards?
Well, no, it's because, you know, when you're a kid, you're 15 years old, you don't know what the fuck's going on. You don't know what the fuck's going on. You can't, I mean, how many people would say, you know, when I was 15, I was fucked up? Everybody was fucked up.
I know.
When you're 15.
I was so fuck, yeah.
Everybody was fucked up. I mean, who wasn't fucked up?
But like I said, I'd like to say thank you. Because
you're not even sure of your sex.
Because apparently there were like 3 or 4 things that I said to you that I can see actually sunk in.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's no problem, Dexter.
It may have took a little while because find me a 15-year-old who can actually take good advice from an older person and, you know,
well,
the younger generation thinks the older generation knows
nothing.
I'll show you a 15-year-old who's going to grow up to be like a world leader or something like that. But
I think that was a backhanded compliment. But anyway, no, in all honesty.
I meant immediately. I mean, most 15-year-olds, they can't. they're too fucked up to listen to anybody anyway.
So it's
the only thing.
Or
when I was 15,
know what's good for them.
When I was 15,
I get weird like this when I'm a little bit tired. I'll just go. I don't know how long was I going on there for.
About an hour.
No, it wasn't an hour.
About an hour. It's 5 in the morning. I'm
5 hours. It's over.
It's over. It's over. It's 26. No, I'm almost done. Yeah. Right. But anyway.
But for Nightshade's benefit, I mean, you know,
I'm gonna go get a Dr. Pepper.
We're gonna take a break here.
Hey.
Okay.
In addition to what Sean was saying, you know, you gotta go for it or
go for you.
Yeah, go for
whatever makes you happy.
It's your life. There is no dress rehearsal.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically, don't, like you said, we cannot do
whatever you do. Do not cling to remorse or regret because that path leads nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't feel you haven't done anything with your life. You have. The question is, have you done anything for yourself? If you have, good. If you haven't, then do. You've got time, girl.
Get out there,
and not just girl, everybody. You got time. Get out there, do something for yourself. I'm not saying basically be a total Hinduist.
Or instead of distracting yourself, before you know what you want to do for yourself, you've got to stop. You've got to stop. You've got to pause, and you've got to determine what it is that you want to do. You've got to turn everything off, and silence is deafening. Silence can be thundering, and we all live in mortal fear of such silence. I asked my father one time. My dad's crazier than a shithouse rat, but he makes some interesting points. I asked my father one time, why is it that people go to nightclubs where they cannot talk to each other in thunderous music and drink?
Yeah, that's what I always wonder.
And he responded to me in a very brilliant fashion. He said, people will seek solitude any way they can find it.
Bang.
And that is exactly why they do that. They will go to these nightclubs because they are immersed. They're faceless. They're nameless. They're somehow caught in a seething orgy of flesh which pulsates around. And somehow you feel some sense of warmth and comfort in this completely synthetic atmosphere.
Inspirational messages at 6:30 a.m. This is so great, says Decker Test Rider.
Well, it's an effect if it's true.
It's your daily affirmation.
This isn't an affirmation. The world's a fucked up place. Young people are very fucked up. I'm not affirming anything. What I'm doing here is I'm just laying it on the line, guys.
I mean, seriously.
I'm trying to figure out a way to put what Rant Radio and cult is into words. And it's very difficult. This is what I kind of came up with. It's about saying that, look, to the people who are listening, there is intelligent life out here, and we can all connect, and, you know, we don't have to be sheeple.
That's right.
And
I make
a lot of jokes about going out there and killing anyone. I'll tell you, Sean will be the first one to tell you, I'll basically stand in the way of a bullet for another person I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. That's very true.
But the point is, I mean, forget about all the bullshit. Forget about all the jokes we do for a second. And seriously, the one thing I want basically people to come out of this with is the very simple fact that be better to yourself. Learn about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I spend every night, on an average, I'll spend basically 4 to 6 hours alone. I'm the only person there.
Yeah.
The only person I have to deal with is myself. You want to talk about scary? Try doing that for the first couple of times where the only person you have to basically look at, the only person you have to be with is yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you got to face you.
Yeah. Introspection can be a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. It will chew your ass off and basically swallow it whole.
Yeah. Yep. And
once you can come to that place where you feel comfortable
with yourself.
With yourself, in your own skin,
yep.
You will know peace of mind that you have never known before.
And I've just become that because this is the first time in my life I've ever been by myself.
That's right.
My last roommate moved out, and I went, okay, I'm going to just go for it now. No more roommates.
It's scary the first few times.
It is. Yep. It's very frightening to be alone.
I freaked out after
Mark. Because our whole life we're taught that
move out.
Alone is bad. Alone is bad.
Alone ain't comfortable, but it's always good to spend some time alone.
Mm. Yep.
Especially with yourself.
It's extremely necessary, especially for our age group and our culture.
Yeah.
We need to define ourselves as ourselves. We can't just sit here and live this lie. We can't
allow ourselves to be defined by other people.
And people are saying, you know, the music, you know, is to blame, and it's music causing people to turn to heroin. Heroin, drugs, music. People do not listen to Metallica and then go burn shit down. People burn shit down and then they listen to Metallica. It doesn't work that way.
People
are angry first before they ever turn to industrial music.
They were looking for something to describe them. Or they allowed themselves to be described by something because that was like, hey, I can be like this. This is something I can be. I stand out. This makes me feel good because I know who I am.
And this is why we want to provide a medium which is not about making money off of people. If you want to belong to something, and everyone does, we all make a joke, no, I'm an individual, I don't want to belong. That's fine, but you know what? You do want to belong. Humans are pack animals.
Yep.
We are by nature. I mean, you don't have to be an idiot. You don't have to be a total sheep, okay?
You live in a house. You live in a city. That's a community.
Cult isn't everyone's following my fucking words blindly. That's not what this is about. It's about a group of like-minded individuals mm-hmm. who get along. Some people in cult hate my fucking rants, okay? I had a girl talk to me and say that some of my shit was stupid. That's fine. That's great. You know what? Right on.
We encourage that. We want people to think critically.
That's right. Yeah, don't just follow.
Questions.
Oh, I don't like Sean Kennedy, but I sure like a lot of the other people called fucking A. Welcome aboard.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You don't got to listen to me.
That's pretty honest, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't
pretty
have to.
Pretty ballsy to sign up for something you hate.
Anyone blindly.
Yep.
Never. Never. Question everyone. I don't care who it is.
Oh, yeah. For God's sake, don't ever just follow what I say.
No.
Don't do
please.
It.
Please. Like,
think about whatever I say. If it jives with you, rock. If it doesn't, hey, tell me to fuck right off, because I do not want a bunch of people who just hang on my every word.
Oh,
that's bullshit.
Sean. Yes, Sean.
You know,
right?
Maybe I've suffered a little more than some people have. I've suffered a whole lot less than a lot of people I know have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've known people that have fucking, you know, sucked on bullets, you know, in a bad way. And it happens where you've got to remember.
Most of the people I grew up with, and when we're talking by grew up with, when we're talking my childhood, are dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I am one of the few people who got out of my neighborhood alive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And this is common. It's common. How many young people, you know, you look at the kids in school and, you know, the pretty girls wind up getting knocked up and they're in a shopping cart and they get up lost in lies. And there's a song by a group called the Rankin Family called The Ballad of, oh, shit, Lucy Jordan. That's
yep.
what it is. The Ballad of Lucy Jordan. And this is the song I used to listen to before I went to Paris. But the chorus of the song is this
Could
woman.
Somebody check my, sorry, my. Fire, I think I'm basically getting disconnected.
Your headphones.
Yeah.
The Ballad of Lucy Jordan's, the major lyrics of the song is, and at the age of 37, she realized she would never drive through.
Barry McNeil's, rather than Rankin Family.
Oh, Barry McNeil's, is that who sings it?
McNeil's.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's at the age of 37, she realized she would never drive through Paris in a sports car with the warm wind in her hair. It's about a woman who wakes up one morning, realizes she's trapped in suburbia, and she crawls up on a rooftop and starts screaming, and the guys in the white coats come and take her away. And I lived in fear. I lived in fear of being Lucy Jordan, of waking up one day and wondering, you know, what the fuck? People, I mean, a lot
what
of times...
What have I done?
What have I done? Where am I? Burning Man, to join cult and go to Burning Man, this is the kind of a thing that will be with you for the rest of your life. To go out in the middle of the desert to this massive, non-commercial, non-productive, artistic fucking weird fest.
And to meet people you've only known by words.
You've met through data that streamed faster than people 50 years ago ever thought possible, using machines that are progressing at such an alarming rate. Technology is fucking amazing. I mean, have you thought about this? I mean, when the last time you don't get mail anymore? It's email. Fuck, I get phone calls from Yugoslavia, from China, from New York. I got people in cults, you know, who are friends of mine now, who I've never met. They're just voices on the other end of the line. And they're listening.
And a quarter century ago, this technology didn't even exist.
This would be more things have been invented in the last 50 years than in the history of the world. And you look at this, and this is incredible. And it's not just about the corporations anymore, and it's gotten away from them, and it's gotten back to the people. And now, with the advent of cult, we can take this and do something beautiful with it. Enough of the nihilism. People are, the corporations want you to believe, oh, everything's shitty, you better stay in line, oh my God, don't do anything weird, because the world's a scary place, it's scary, fuck that. Yeah, there's some scary shit in the world, but there's some really beautiful stuff in the world too. And all we need is enough people to get together and say, hey, you know what, it's okay, I got your back. And if we had 1,000 people who sat there and said, hey, it's okay, I got your back, or somebody stumbled and fell, and it was cool, they could go and hang out at somebody's house. It'd be all right, it's all good. And then you can have these friends, you can have this communication, and that is where the truth strength in cult lies. It's inside of the people, and that's where the strong parts are.
The thing I believe is I don't think you need cult for that. I think I'm gonna steal a line.
You don't need it.
I'm gonna steal a line. I'm sorry to say that.
For sure.
But there's something I've always thought, and I'm gonna steal a line from pretty much most of the major religions. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's a variation of that in every major religion. I mean, I'm not a Bible thumper, trust me on this one, but it's such a simple, beautiful fucking premise. I don't know why the hell we can't do it.
Coming
over here tonight, when we're on our way over here, I saw this woman. I mean, she was, to be unkind, I'll use the term cougar. If you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it. She was on crutches. She had a backpack that was loaded with a case of beer. I asked if I could give her a hand.
Yeah.
At first, she looked at me like,
there's a toaster on fire on your head.
Exactly. And she honestly was like a little
worried. Which was odd because it was actually a toaster oven.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah. She thought it was a toaster.
Yeah, exactly. But she looked at me like what like the first thing I could see in her eyes was, what do you want? And it's like, is it so fucked up these days that we can't help somebody else around us? Yeah, without, you know, people wondering at our fucking motives?
Yeah. I'd just like to share a quick story about when I was going to school in Vancouver. I was on my bus, getting on the bus to go home, and an old woman was standing up. She was waiting to get off at her stop. The bus came to a very abrupt halt, and she fell. One of the guys who was sitting behind me, obviously a biker, maybe not on his bike that day, very scruffy looking, but, you know, nice guy, got up, gave her a hand standing up. She screamed rape, picked up her bag of groceries, and hit him in the head. All I have to say is I was torn between laughing and crying, and it was just, that was a very sad day for me. I was just like, I can't believe it.
You know what happened that day? A tiny little bit, a little spark of your love for humanity died that day, right?
Ah.
Yep.
But see, the problem there is, why did that happen?
Because of perception.
Uh-huh. Fear.
Yep.
And fear of the unknown, and fear of the unknown brought on by lack of communication. Cult is about communication.
Yeah, I will give you that basically the internet has improved communication.
You think?
I still think, however,
it was breaking down.
I'm sorry. I still think that for the most part, computer and everything involved in it, and even me sitting here right now doing this, is still a bit of a distraction. Exactly what you were saying.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, at that stage, you can say anything. Books are a distraction. Everything is a distraction. But that point, what are you getting from the distraction? Is the distraction
I'm not saying you can't get something from a distraction, but I'm just saying that for the most part, I think the majority of it. The point is, I agree with you. What point do you say what isn't a distraction and what is is truth? That is the hardest.
Well, everything that is all media is like code. All media is like code. Whatever you expose yourself to, some people are wide open. They don't have firewalls up. They take in all the data they see, and it affects them like a virus. Now, if you don't have the personal security in who you and what you are, you're open to all these attacks by groups that, I mean, essentially, the corporations are the hackers. They're the ones who are getting in and getting root on your personality and trying to program you into being something that you had no desire
to be. Like, for instance, a Gap baby.
Yeah, the Gap children, that's so much... I mean, those motherfuckers got root, you know? And they're charging other hackers with people. And all we're saying is, whoa, man, hey, you don't need to give people money. You're free. You're already free. Just wake up.
Yep.
It's one of the beautiful things about the Internet. Like I said, it's incredibly decentralized.
Yeah.
It decentralizes everything. And corporations cannot...
They can't stop.
Can't control it.
And it's pretty much free.
It is totally free.
Absolutely democratic.
Yeah.
And the best part about this is when you have people who begin to wake up, who begin to clue in, why do you think people tune into Rant Radio? Because they like to hear me fucking shout? No. Do they think they turn into Rant Radio because they like that we talk about hookers and blowjobs? No. That's not why they do it. That's why a lot of these people like to tune in because they realize that there are other people who are pissed off, who realize that the world is basically a fucked up place, and they know that they're not alone. Alone is a fucking bitch. But if you can realize that you're not alone, why are people joining cult? Why am I getting 2 or 3 membership applications a day? Why is that happening?
It's summed up in lines from like movies we've seen, the line from Fight Club. You are not your fucking khakis.
No, you're not your khakis.
You're not your fucking job.
Yep.
But you are a snowflake. That's the problem with Fight Club. Fight Club was a cult. The film Fight Club, that guy was breeding a cult. You're all worthless. Yeah, you're all useless. You have to all work doing what I say. Tyler Durden, we trust, all that kind of shit. Okay, that's not the case here.
You know what actually amazes me is that fucking picture came out of Hollywood.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing because he slams a lot of shit in that.
That's just like
there's been two or three films out of Hollywood the last couple of years which I was like stunned. I was stunned. That American Beauty and what the hell was the other one? Never mind. I'm too tired. Don't worry about it. But there was a couple of films I saw last year that I couldn't believe. It was like it almost for a few moments for a second. Woke me up, and not I'm saying I had a realization or basically an epiphany, it almost made me believe that there was still art left in the fucking world, okay? almost for a friggin' moment. But, you know, then I basically, you know, ended up working at Paramount where they make 7 days, and, you know, that's besides the point.
Also known as the Center for the Decline of Western Civilization.
So, you had some stuff you were going to play way back when.
Yes. This is from way, way, way back when Rant Radio first started. I had some interest from a magazine called Billboard Magazine. A guy that did articles for that interviewed me. This is really, really old. So this is very dated stuff. It might be pretty interesting to listen to. And a rant queued up. So this is sort of a break for us and something very weird for you guys to listen to because it's very strange now. This is from a year and a half ago, this interview. So Rant Radio has changed quite dramatically. So here's a bunch of stuff.
No, really, Sim?
Really? Yeah, it's changed a little bit. A little bit more popular now. And so here it is, and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, even though PSINet tried to fuck us and shut everything down, even though everyone's trying to stop us, even though the FCC is knocking on the door, it's the Rant Radio 26 fucking hour marathon where we can see how many curse words we can say in just over one day. It's going to be a good time. Stick around, lots more coming.
Come on, baby, give daddy some loving.
It's time for another rant.
Get ready to listen to
Sean Kennedy,
the cult
leader.
For more info on cult and Sean Kennedy, email
join at thecult.org.
Hit you in the face with a shovel.
So I'm walking through this consumer concentration camp they call a mall, and I walk by and there's a store called the Sunglass Hut. And I walk inside the Sunglass Hut and I'm thinking about something, you know, since, well, the corporation's all burning the fucking ozone layer off, I'm gonna need something to stop my eyes from shriveling up and falling out of my fucking head. So I go and I find a decent pair of sunglasses in there. And you know what I do? I look at the price on those sunglasses. You know what the price is? It's $400 for a pair of Oakley Romeos. What the fuck costs $400 on a pair of Oakley Romeos, huh? What costs that much money? Oh, well, I suppose they're really good quality. I suppose they're really nice. I mean, that's consumer nuclear protection. Holy shit, how incredibly consumer programmed are we that we can actually rationalize spending more than $50 on a pair of sunglasses? And the minute you realize that, once you realize that, you look around a mall. You look around at cars. You look at all these tribal fucking feathers that you put in your cap, and what are they worth? What are they really worth? They're worth, like, what? A Mercedes doesn't cost that much for Zeus. Maybe a little bit more than a Japanese car, but not by much, so why are you paying the extra guy? Bad quality. Bullshit. It's got nothing to do with quality. It's got to do with your fucking status, man. It's just like what they used to say in Amway. Buying things you can't afford to impress people you don't even fucking like, okay? So why are you going for the status? Why are you paying that much money? Makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense. You have no reason to do this. There's no reason. So why are you doing it? Why? Because your television programmed you to. It's not your fault. You are a victim. But now you know, so you have no excuse to be a victim. Oh, well, you know, what would people say? To care what other people think is to be controlled by them. I believe Voltaire said that. You might want to listen to the fucking guy. He might have been on to something. But, of course, you don't hear about this in schools. The schools don't give a shit either. They want to have consumer education classes. They teach you to be a good little fucking consumer. E-fuck shit consumed guy. That's your fucking life. That's what you are. You cattle. You cow. You sheep. You fucking farm animal. You're going to have your little hormone pills. You're going to eat your beef. Are you going to do that? Or you're just going to say, fuck this. I'm storming the wire. My name's Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.
New Meow Mix from Purina, the cat food with three separate flavors in one package. Three flavors that cats love best: tuna, liver, and chicken. Meow Mix tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
There we go.
So, you're going to have to forgive me. I can't remember if Rant Radio was the station that was playing this rave music I was listening to, or was it the one with this talk going on?
We do both.
You do both?
Yep. In the off times, when there's no DJ online, we play whatever music. My current favorite, and it seems to be the favorite of a lot of the listeners, is techno, electronica, trance music. That kind of stuff.
What are, like, core artists?
Pardon me?
What are some of your, like, artists that you find popping up on your playlist?
Let's see. Let me just look through here. Well, of course, Crystal Method, Fatboy Slim, Moby, Man With No Name, Lords of Acid. There you go.
Gotcha.
There's a bunch of them.
I get the picture.
That kind of genre.
Right. So what? How long have you guys been doing Rant Radio?
Well, Rant Radio started very shortly after the software came out from Nullsoft, Shoutcast. I saw it a couple days after it came out. It came out on the 30th, and I started listening to it, I think, on the 1st, because I often check the Winamp page. And So I listened to a couple of stations, and I went, cool, this is an awesome idea. I've always wanted a radio station for myself, especially ever since watching the movie Pump Up the Volume. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I have.
Of course. It was like total inspiration for me, and I've always wanted a radio station, but of course the costs were too high on the actual equipment.
So for the real network stuff, you can do it.
That's right. For the real over-the-air kind of stuff, it was a lot of equipment, a lot of setup, and a lot of danger.
Well, you're talking about doing a real pirate radio.
A real pirate radio station. And there, as far as I know, there aren't any where I'm located in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's where I am, and a lot of my friends are the DJs on this station. But we do have DJs all over North America, and some that are going to be on from Europe and Australia as well.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, what you said, all over South Africa?
None from South Africa yet. There's one from Ireland that was contacting me. Another one from Finland. Another one from Australia.
So they take turns serving up the site? Is that how it works?
That's right. Basically, there's a server that is everyone tunes into, all the listeners tune into, and then just about anybody can DJ. I can DJ from my computer directly to the server, which is my computer, or anybody out there can connect to the server with a password. And
how do they get the password?
I set the password on the server itself, and when they want to be a DJ, I put trust into them and give them out the password, and then they set it up on their Winamp. Winamp is the actual software that you run through, and you plug in your microphone or play a CD or play an MP3, and it goes through that, and it connects to the server, and it works like that, so people can connect to the server and listen to whoever's broadcasting. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
And I've got a schedule of DJs that they just pick a time slot, and they start broadcasting at that time.
That's excellent.
And in the off times, when nobody's broadcasting, I just spin a loop of tunes.
So it seems to be a different approach than some people are just trying to do their own station. You seem to have taken sort of a more collective approach.
Yeah, and I feel that's a real good way to get a lot of people involved in the station, and people feel a more personal approach to the station if you do get a lot of people involved. The station idea is about involvement with Rant Radio. People venting their opinions and their frustrations and just about anything they want to say. One of the new things that we're doing with the station is people are sending in their rants and we put them in rotation with the songs. And we're getting a lot of submissions that way. We also have a resident ranter. He's named Sean Kennedy. And I've put a lot of his rants in. He's got 14 so far, and they're about 3 minutes long, and they just go in between the songs, and got great response. He's very opinionated and very straightforward about his opinions.
What are some of the things that people are talking about?
Anything under the sun. It's I'll give you some of the topics. One guy sent in one about smoking. He's very upset. He lives in California, and same as you, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of very strict smoking laws passed there recently, and he was upset about it. You can't smoke anywhere. And I voiced my opinion after that, saying, "Yeah, it's not illegal. Why not?
Right.
Based on the why would it anyway? Yeah.
Right.
Don't want to go off on a rant right now about it, but." Another one, some guy talking about slow drivers, and Sean takes a much harder line about things, and he talks about abortion and women and the workplace and injustices and stuff like that. And we do a lot of station IDs as well in-house. We try and make it sound as slick as possible. Like, we're not trying to be a commercial radio station or anything. We're far from that. But we want to keep a general atmosphere of professionalism about it.
What do you do normally? What do you do for a living?
I'm a system administrator for an internet provider here in British Columbia. So I've been into computers for quite a while, ever since Commodore 64.
Wow. Wow. So you said you guys were upgrading to a T3. You're getting free bandwidth, obviously.
Yeah. The way that works is some guy works at just his place of work. It's not an internet provider or anything. And they just have a really good, really big bandwidth. And this T3 that we're getting is in California as well. And I've got really good ping times to there. So it's a very fast server. And they just use it for work, and it's not fully utilized. And this guy works there, and he says, "You know, go ahead. We'll set it up." He wants to be a DJ as well, so it works on both sides. Right now, so as soon as we get the T3 going, we can have. Right now, we're going to set it at probably 100 listeners, and it can go all the way up to 500 if he really wants to set it that high. So there's amazing potential there. And I was also talking with somebody from Harvard University, and he's one of the system administrators there, and they pretty much have an unlimited bandwidth. So we can upgrade even further, because it's really taking off. Whenever there's an actual show on the station, it fills right up what we currently have. I don't know what the potential listeners is for the T3, because right now we're only at 15 listeners per stream.
How many streams are there?
Right now we currently have 3 streams on cable modems, and all of my friends have cable modems here. It's pretty inexpensive to have, and we can support 15 listeners at the quality that we're broadcasting.
So 45
altogether. 45 right now altogether. But it's a little bit hard that way, because they have to see which server is full. If it's full, they have to go to another one. It's a bit of a pain. So we want to bring it all together into one big server, so anytime they can just click on it, they hear the station.
What about, you know, I mean, why couldn't you do this, you know, back in the days of real networks? I mean, well, not that they're gone, but I mean, why couldn't you have started a real network station?
Well, there's always been real audio. Through computers, you mean?
Yeah.
Still? It's never been this available. This software that they've just put out is absolutely free for use in a non-commercial environment. And our station is not going to do any commercial stuff, because then people can start dictating what we play and what we say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but there are good labels here in the U.S.
Yep.
So they think that they can do that. Not airing, even if you're not broadcasting commercials.
Really?
Yeah. New law called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Really?
Has a provision in that, you know, the labels were able to say that, you know, anybody that's, first of all, well, anybody that's webcasting can file for a compulsory license and get one.
Yep.
If they follow, you know, some rules as far as programming goes, like,
right.
If you don't play one artist in more than, you know, can't play two songs by one artist or more than, you know, whatever, something like that, or they can't have a playlist. There's 10 rules.
Really?
And they haven't set forth any fees yet. They're still trying to figure it out. But what do you think of that? I mean,
well, first of all, I would like to see them shut down 300 stations.
Yeah.
And it's 300 right now, and it's only been out a very short while, 3 weeks. And also, I see it as more as promotion for the artist. I mean, people are getting free listening to all these artists that are on all of these stations. I think it only helps the artist. I've discovered a lot of new bands that I like through MP3s and through these radio stations, because the DJs announce who they're playing, and obviously the DJs like them. So I see it as nothing more than a good promotion for the artists. The industry should try and embrace something rather than reject it, and go with the technology rather than against it, and I think it'll work better for them, because they're fighting a losing battle. Every kind of media that they have developed so far that is either recordable or digital, like analog tapes, they were always worried about that when that came out, and it never hurt the market. They're worried about people copying movies when video VCRs came out, and that never hurt the market. And now MP3s have come out, and I'm expecting the exact same thing. People will still buy the CDs for the artwork, to support the musician, and so on and so forth, just in the same vein as all the other technologies that have come out. And they're just wasting their time and money. Could be better spent and put forth, used in a better fashion. And some artists have gone against their record companies already, and embrace the technology, such as Public Enemy and Billy Idol. I don't know if you're aware or have heard about that. Public Enemy. Yeah, the Public Enemy tried to release their brand new album because of their label was dragging their heels, and they put it up on their webpage, and pretty much everyone got their MP3s before they got shut down. And Billy Idol also released some of his new singles through MP3.com. And he got shut down as well. But I think it's nothing but good promotion. Huge downloads.
Okay. I guess you so I'm taking it you guys haven't been contacted by anybody like ASCAP or BMI saying, hey, you gotta pay us less than you want to webcast.
Nope, nobody has contacted us yet, but I fully expect in the future because our station is going very, very rapidly and everyone who listens to it says great station, and I think it's a great technology, and I think it'll get
write something
big enough
on the wall.
They're going to start attacking it. A lot of things on the internet have gone under fire recently, even a lyrics server.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, www.lyrics.ch was...
they were making money, though, because they were selling ads on the site.
I don't even look at ads.
I'm sorry.
I block them out. They're like a non-space to me when I look at a web page, so I didn't even notice the ads on that page. That I disagree with. People trying to make money off of things that they shouldn't be making money off of, that they never put money into. I didn't notice that they did have ads, but yeah, all their servers, they were busted and taken away. And I use that resource a lot.
So what do you think, you know, does this say anything, the growth of this, does it say anything about... I don't know, does it say anything about popular culture, web culture, or what's going on with traditional radio? What do you think? I mean, it just lacks philosophic.
Well, I don't think traditional radio is going to die a quick death because, well, you can't readily access these stations in your car. Or you can access them at work or at home, but a lot of majority still people don't have the know-how or technology to get this. But it is definitely a huge revolution by just looking at how many people have started listening. I mean, a regular there's 1,000 listeners all day long listening to these radio stations, and by the statistics on Winamp's webpage that they're downloading, I believe, 1 million copies per release of Winamp. There's a massive, massive market out there for people listening to this. It's definitely a
wake up!
Okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah,
that's pretty dry. Well, and then I went and I had some cereal. And
you know, my cereal was good cereal.
And then I went to my dog
sorry,
and
I
walked my dog.
I was sitting here.
It was
breakfast, 1931.
I was sitting here and
we used to wear an onion on our belt because that was the style
in those days.
I was sitting here and I was like, and I'm going to burn down the building. I'm serious. I was like...
You hid all that hair underneath
you,
that
you know, you,
blue
you
hair.
Could have
That's
been,
amazing.
You could have been reading a passage from any random 18th century novel or 19th century novel.
Wouldn't have noticed.
Dickens or something like that, and we would never notice the difference.
Whoa. Did you try to be that exciting, or was it this like, you know, some sort of medical condition you had at the
well,
time?
Well, you listen to the guy. He wasn't even paying attention to me. I said, oh, we have broadcasters all over North America. And he's like, did you say South Africa?
Yeah, a lot of the same.
I'm like, fuck.
Same
listen to me,
that.
Man.
South.
But it was like basically three weeks after I started doing the radio station, and I didn't know Sean's rants were on already then. Like, they were from the beginning. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's getting light out here.
Oh, the sun.
Well, everyone caught their second wind yet?
The sun. Yes,
yeah,
I'm back. I basically
I
had
just
to.
Washed my
I
face.
I had a choice. I could slip into a coma
stretched
listening
out.
To that or basically come back to life. Okay?
Come back to life.
So I said
you
no.
You from the dead.
I said no to the coma, and I'm back, okay? Thank
Zach
you.
Zach made me turn that off. Like, turn that fucking thing off. right now.
It sounded pretty bad.
Pretty
you know,
boring.
That was almost as exciting as, say, listening to Alan Greenspan or something like that, you know.
Yeah, turn on channel PBS at any point in time, and they're doing a talk show, and it's like, it's about that level, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to say.
we're have a blue, no, I don't have a, look at that funky TV, look at that.
It's wow, cool. We lost one of our screens.
It's going all funky.
There we go. That's what happened, by the way.
No, it was like flash, like, boosh. Well, I might have done that, but I don't know. I have Commodore monitors here. I have four Commodore monitors. And
we lost the big screen, but we made up
for
we made up for it for four small screens. It's so cool.
They can't see the IRC anymore, but I can. They can see themselves.
Yes, that's
Ooh.
Right. So basically, it seems like we're not paying attention to you. It's not that. It's just that
I have to
Sam won't let us basically see it anymore.
He's filtering the information. He's acting as an information filter here.
Well, we've moved it into a studio now. And it's, I think it's much cooler.
Matter of fact, maybe we will move the camera a little bit later and let people see what we're doing to the wall here in the Rant Radio studio.
That's right, and all three of you can check the webcam and take a look.
Or you can stop being like, you know, webcam hogs and get off for a while and let somebody else get on there.
That's right. Let them see the IRC they're chanting. No. Well, they can't. It's just on a monitor, okay? We moved out of the room with the 50-inch television, and we used to have it on there, and they could see everything we typed, but too bad. I had to move it out of the living room. I had to tear it down and build it up every fucking Sunday.
We could put a TV out on in this computer and then just run it out to the...
into one of the TVs.
Well,
that's not a problem.
All of them, actually.
Well, all of them scattered around the room.
Exactly, so everybody has an
into MIRC. The mic.
And so everyone has an MIRC.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, that's what I plan to do.
Right.
But I don't have a TV tuner card in this computer right now.
Right.
And I have to find one that's compatible with Windows 2000, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah,
et cetera,
blah,
et cetera.
Blah, blah,
the
blah,
ones
blah,
I
blah,
have
blah.
May
oop,
or
oop,
may
oop,
not.
Eek, 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 splat.
That's right.
Monkey noises,
feces is swinging. Covering the wall. Zach is writing his name in feces on the wall.
Perfect. There's a visual.
We don't know if his own feces or somebody else's he's borrowed.
You know, that imagery pretty much says Sunday morning to me.
It's Sunday morning. Should we go to work? Go to church over there? Take a visit over
Rant
to the vineyard?
Rant
drop over to the vineyard. What a fucked up place that is.
Rant Radio is my church.
That's right. We come to the church every Sunday. It's not in the morning, but it's at night for 2 hours. We come and pray to our digital god.
I remember back when we first started this out, before I came up with Rose Hospital stories, do you remember what I asked to do?
00101001001.
I asked to do basically Reverend Billy Sunday. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't
Please
remember?
Refresh me.
I asked to basically do, I should say, Projectile Vomit Man has a copy of National Lampoon's version of the Bible.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
I do a great Southern
minister
slash insane Baptist. And I was going through a period where I hadn't quite solidified my faith, and I hadn't really kind of... I was still very anti-religious. I should explain that my family did this to me.
Anti-organized religion.
Yeah, anti-organized religion.
Or unorganized.
Should be explained for those who are uninitiated that Dak is a recovering Catholic.
Well, no, you don't understand. It wasn't the recovering Catholic part that did it to me, though the Catholics did wonders to my self-esteem and also my sense of self-worth. Any fear I have of basically hell, I can still lay at their doorsteps, okay? But no. My the rest of my family on my mother's side, who is the people who live out here, who I never fucking see anymore, are Pentecostal. Now, I have nothing against somebody who's Pentecostal. I mean, these people are great. They like, flip out in church, start talking in tongues, shake, basically.
That's some wigged out shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. Basically, that and a six-pack, and you've got fucking entertainment, okay? I mean, it's better than any Sunday morning football.
Yeah, it's pretty good value. You know, you throw a toonie in the collection plate.
Like, it is. It's fucking great, man. It is hysterical. But these people almost fucking abused me. Mm-hmm. We're not talking like physically, we're talking near mentally, and their attempts to basically turn me around to see their light, because, you know, they cared for me and they didn't want to see me going to hell. And, you know, in the meantime, I was in hell, you know.
Well, you want our version of hell or their version?
Yeah, and I tell you, I never want to go down that road again.
And now you have free will,
yeah,
and you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much there for a while, I wanted to do the most sacrilegious thing I could think of, which was kind of like, you know, beating the messenger because of the message, you know?
Zombie's weak. He's gone.
Zombie?
He didn't make his 5 o'clock ring-in.
Bye, zombie.
Bye, zombie. Too bad for you. Bye-bye for you.
Bye-bye for you.
So,
How long have we been on now? What time is it, 5?
It's, 5 o'clock, just on the dot, pretty much.
So how long?
That would be
so
8 hours.
8 hours.
So eight
that doesn't
hours
seem then right, does it?
No. nine to 5. It's just exactly right. That's 8 hours.
9 to 5. Thank, not usually the 9 to
thank
5.
You, thank you, oof.
Verified.
Obviously a math major over here.
So we got 8 hours in. 8 hours from 26 would be, 18 hours left?
Yep. 18 hours.
That's not bad.
We'll do it. We're hard.
Oh, I think we've passed the hardest part, I think.
I'm sorry.
I've caught my second wind. I'm all awake now.
It ain't the second wind you got to watch. It's that third and fourth that'll come back and bite you in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Sean's yawning there. Not so good. Slowing down.
All right,
eyes are heavy.
More important than ill wind from someone eating chili last night.
Or the pizza.
It's okay. It's okay to yawn. It's okay to be tired. The trick is to keep going. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to be said. And also, I mean, I just talked for the last fucking 20 minutes, so just give me a break. Okay, it took a little bit out of me.
And you had a 5-minute rest, and it's time to go again.
Yeah, pretty much.
By the way, Sean, I'm mad at you.
Oh, no.
Why?
Remember a couple, what was it, about a week ago or two weeks ago that we were at Fatso's, the greatest food place on the planet?
Sure, yeah.
It was amazing, amazing ribs.
It's a rib place called Fatso's. Anyway, yeah, what about
meat,
it?
Meat, and more meat.
And you were saying that you admired me. I mean, I was and I quote, you know, Dak's a complete fucking failure, but at least he's happy with his life. This is a quote you said.
Well, I was screwing around. You know exactly what I meant by that.
I know, but still, I was pissed off.
You know exactly what I meant.
I went home and I was hurt.
Were you?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let the healing begin.
Can we hug?
Long distance hug. Yeah, you can feel it. There it is.
Well, the thing is, though, that I mean...
Why is your hug involving both your fingers pointing up? Is that
now, why do you have a snake in your pocket? I mean, everybody's really a failure, really, when you think about it, because we're all trying to be stuff we can never be.
You always had problems with the fact that I never gave a shit about money, didn't you? That kind of, like, screwed with your head there for the longest time.
What are you talking about?
The fact that I just don't give a shit about basically what I do for a living.
I'm one of the few people who never had a problem with that.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of people who I do have a problem with that, but I personally have always kind of thought the fact that you were happy with where you're at was kind of cool.
Yeah, I choose happiness over money. If I'm not happy, but I have a lot of money, that money would suck more than
money helps.
Less
because
money,
money equals a lot of freedom. If you have money, you have more freedom to do shit. Now that's not.
But does God guarantee happiness?
No, of course not. Nothing guarantees happiness.
Yeah.
There's only what you choose to be happy. You choose
that's
the things
right
that make you happy. I mean, you got terminal cancer and you're on fire. It's going to be hard for you to fucking
fuck the cancer. I'm on fire.
You know, la, la, la. I mean, that's just nuts.
I'll deal with the cancer after the fire's out.
But you have to realize that, you know, there comes a point where you have to just kind of say, fuck it, what's important to me? So, let's see. What is important? What's important right now is that...
What's important to you, Sean?
What's
in your life?
In my life?
Yeah. What are the important things?
Well, that's a really...
Your wife.
Yeah, she's probably the most important thing in my life.
She's still up. She heard that probably. Better rescind that.
No, she's...
She is.
She is the most important thing in my life. There's certain things. I mean, that's kind of like asking people why they got a tattoo.
I just fucking got a tattoo, okay?
No, it's...
There are reasons.
Tattoos are very private, man. When people get a tattoo, none of your
it's
fucking
on
business.
It's on your body.
Well, why'd you get that tattoo? Well, fuck you. I don't have to tell you shit. You know, it's like when people ask for your address in the fucking store. Where do you live? Where the fuck do you live? You know? Where the fuck do I live?
I actually...
What's your zip code? What's your fucking zip
code? Actually, Sean, I got a date that way.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. I'm serious.
You came back with what's your address?
No.
Basically,
that was exactly what happened. It was basically I was at W.C. Blair Pool, and there was this. They used to take one of your cards, piece of information, so that they'd give you a locker key.
Yeah.
And they'd say, "What's your phone number?" And they'd write it on basically a little tag they'd put on your wallet or whatever you gave them.
Right, okay.
And so it was this cute girl, and she was like, your phone number, please. And I said, basically, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, what's yours? And she went, blah, 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 blah. And I called her. We went out to a movie a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey,
could be worse.
She thought so, yeah.
But there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of things that people say, well, what's important to you? I don't know. I've got things that are important to me. I don't really want to discuss it.
Okay. Don't have to.
No, I don't. I don't really want to discuss it. It's a pretty intimate thing. I think a lot of people know what's important to me. Cult's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
People are important. People I don't know. I get this big mother hen syndrome, which is kind of a pain in the ass. Where
and it's getting worse every day by everyone joining.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, oh my God, my flock.
Well, they're not my flock. I don't really think that way, but
your online friends, like you got.
Yeah, they're people I care about, and I don't like seeing people I care about hurt. I don't like seeing people I care about in
upset.
Trouble. Upset.
Having trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I just went off for like, you know, it's a horrible thing to be confused and in pain because it's okay to be in pain. The pain is part of life. You know, the Buddhist slogan of suffering begets wisdom. It's okay to be in pain. That's all right.
That which does not kill us makes us stronger.
But if you are... if you're in pain and you're confused and you don't know which way to go, you don't know which way to run to get out of the fire, and that is really bad because you'll start running in circles and then the
you're
fire keeps burning
fire.
You and then you you die. And that's that can be very, very bad. Some people never get out of the fire. They take their own lives. Sometimes they destroy themselves. They choose, extended means to destroy themselves, be it drugs, be it self-destructive lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And they need to understand that that's not necessary. I mean, maybe some people, that's a free choice where they go in for self-exploration, but... it's not really required.
Yep. I choose happiness. That's my most important thing.
Happiness.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of a cop out, I think.
Not really.
Not really. What is?
Well,
hey, what did the pizza
no,
Jesus
no, no, no,
say?
No.
I mean, what is the meaning of life?
Oh, sure.
No, I was working in the job that you had, and I was pretty complacent, and I didn't do anything, but I was happy, made money, and it was a very easy job.
Are you happy now?
Oh yeah.
Well, there you go.
Except I don't have a girlfriend.
That
which makes me unhappy.
Yeah, but you should date Angela.
Yeah, exactly.
Angela.
Or Amy, right. Or whatever her name was.
No, his name is Angela.
Who's?
The fucking
work?
Chick who called, yeah.
No, her name is Stalling. Tired.
Amy?
Adria?
No.
Adria?
No.
Sean, I'm obsessing over his wife.
Adrian?
Andrea.
Andrea. No.
No.
Amy?
No.
No.
Cargo
Race, who remembers?
Allison.
No.
No.
Was definitely an A-word.
It was an A-word.
Okay, we'll think about that.
Oh, well.
Hey, people, what was her name? Tell me what her name was.
Sonia.
What's your fucking name? Don't look at me, don't look at me. Okay.
Shit, I was going to say something and I forgot it.
So we're writing on the wall there.
Yeah, that's the writing on the wall. It's basically we've been at this too long.
No, we're all right.
Okay, here's some stuff. Let's go back to my list here so we can get some inspiration.
Sure.
Burn X Work says, "Sup, dude. Rant Radio kicks ass, dude. Your music selection is decent. I love your techno and ministry, but some of your music isn't my favorite. That's fine, though, because your talk kicks so much ass. I get into work at 8 and leave at 6. I'm programmed at my desk all day, so I listen to Rant Radio for 10 hours. My boss listens to it a few hours each day, too. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know. Keep up the good work. I've got to run to the airport. See you later. Listen to you later." So that's very cool.
That's very cool.
And
oh, I know what we're talking about. We were talking about happiness.
Too.
You two were just talking
happiness.
About basically you asked.
What? No, well, not happiness.
Well, what's important to you in your
what's
life?
What's important to you?
Sure.
What's important
happiness.
To me in my life? I had it for a long time. I basically had a job where I got a chance to basically help people out.
Yeah.
Where it's like every day I did something where it was like, wow, I helped. And we're not just talking about basically thumping some numpty. We're not talking about basically, you know, saving somebody's life, basically going off and being a cover child for like a fucking comic book. We're talking about shit where like, you know, I had some
Amanda.
Amanda, that was her name. Yes,
I said
right.
Amanda.
No, I don't think you did.
No,
I said Adrian a lot, but
I said Adrian.
Adrian. No, it wasn't that.
Sure, it was Adrian.
The way I remembered it is from The Simpsons. Amanda hug and kiss when they phone up the bar.
Oh yeah.
Because you have to relate names when you first meet people to remember them. You have to relate it to them.
I want to hear the story how you explained that. Basically, I was trying to remember your name. I was so tired. I used
a gag line from a bar from The Simpsons to remember your name. I want to be there for that conversation, okay? I know it's personal.
She'll never know.
She'll never, ever know.
Continue on, Dak. But like helping people.
Like I was saying, it was like there were times where I would have some guy who was like, there was this one guy who was seriously fucking depressed. He was like, he had, his stomach had stopped working. So they had to cut a hole into his stomach, put a tube into it, so they could pump food into it.
Can you pump food directly into the stomach?
Yes,
is that the first line of breaking, like,
yes,
absorbing the food?
Directly into his stomach, so that it was like a high nutrient content.
Good eating.
So that he would basically stay alive because he wouldn't starve to death. And the tap had basically been rejected, so they had to perform the operation again and put another tap in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the reason they had to do that is because he had been on IV feed for so long, his veins had all collapsed. So he was, needless to say, like, seriously depressed.
Was this, I think you've told me
about
this.
Yeah, I told you about this. And I basically got to spend a couple of nights, and I wasn't thinking anything of it. I was just basically like, this guy's basically bummed out. I'm standing here. I just started talking to him.
Yep.
And it was like, wow, you know, he basically, a couple months later, he like came back and told me what it meant to him, and it was like, huh, fuck.
Smokehouse just says, I threw up, I gotta say, I feel better. Welcome back.
That usually usually happens after a hard night of drinking.
Continue on down.
Yeah, and it's like,
Smokehouse? No, he's not a drunk chick.
No, I'm serious, it was like,
Smokehouse is not a drunk chick.
Seriously, it's like, it can be the most amazing thing in the world to go out there and actually make a difference in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
We're not talking about you have to, like, move a mountain. Just basically, like I said before, a kind fucking word can be the most amazing thing when somebody needs it.
Yeah.
And that was like, wow. You know, it's like, I guess my life wasn't entirely selfish, you know, piece of shit, worthless existence. I actually made something to somebody who needed it.
Yeah.
Damn.
A couple ideas I'd like to...
That actually almost counts as good karma. Now what the fuck am I going
to
do with it?
Oh, no, too much good karma. Building up.
That can be bad. I'd like to talk a little bit about... We'd like to take it out of this painful sort of philosophical 6 in the morning kind of shit.
It's been in this mood for a couple hours.
A couple hours. That's a great...
Nice. This is rut. We can't get out of
it. We're getting drastic. Close to, you know, coffee shop talk here.
What's next? Turning out the lights and listening to Velvet Underground?
You know, break out the Morrissey. And if a 10-ton bus runs over us, you know, fuck off. To die by your side. Smack. So, let's talk about the future of cult. I have some ideas. The things I would like to instigate in cult. Where the fuck is my Palm Pilot?
Uh-oh.
It's over here.
What's that noise?
Clack.
Your pop can. You're crushing your pop. Don't crush your pop cans. We need to nail those to the wall or something. We could nail them. Oh, no, that wouldn't work.
Well, it was nailed there.
Yeah? Trying to think of things, how to get those Dr. Pepper cans on the wall.
Hot glue gun.
Bit of a pain.
How soft is the stucco on the ceiling here? I'm feeling like a...
Oh, that is too cool. Oh, wow. They're going on the ceiling.
They're going on the ceiling.
Because that doesn't interfere with the walls. That is, that's too cool. Okay, Dr. Pepper cans are on the ceiling.
Did you ever see the interesting lighting options? Oh, sorry.
There we go.
Did you ever happen to see the interesting lighting options we had in our front foyer the old house? We had a really old, like, basically like a bare naked bulb that somebody had basically taken what looked like an old coffee can.
Yeah.
And poked holes into it. And I looked at it the first couple of days I was there as I was loading shit in.
Yeah.
I got a lot of shit. What the hell am I still keeping a light bright for? There's got to be a reason why I have all these light bright. And I've got the little pig separate from the light bright. A separate box, even.
Yeah.
I'm holding the light bright. Now, what the hell do I need this for? And I look up. Holes in the can. Light bright. Holes in the can.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, it was very interesting. Bing, bing, bing. The only problem being they were slightly smaller. So I'm going like, poke, poke, poke. Now, I'm trying to squeeze it in.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, hang on. Flick, flick, flick. Lighter. Get the lighter. Flick, flick, flick. Melt it just until the fire catches and then...
Because light bulbs aren't actually bulbs. They're just pieces of plastic that the light goes through.
And it conducts it, like the earliest sort of fiber optic thing in the world.
Was a light bright.
Light bright, fiber optics.
What do you know? 1950s technology comes through again.
And, oh, man, we left that behind. And I bet if we broke into that house, as a matter of fact, we might do that later on tonight. I think we still got a key somewhere. We might just go back into my old house and check the front foyer. And I bet that light bright's still up there. Somebody
too cool to take down.
Oh, good God. Yeah. I've got a relative somewhere back there that invented the mobile. Alexander Calder, just so you know, this is like the one claim to fame that my last name has.
Yeah.
Guy invented the idea of like hanging bits of metal.
So one of your ancestors invented the mobile.
As a modern piece of art, yes.
Cool.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I've been told that way back in my lineage that somebody invented the bicycle chain in my family, but unverified.
I only have two famous people in my family. On my father's side, we have one of the more famous, basically, horse thieves in Ireland. And on my mother's side, we have one of the judges / tribunal that was in the Salem witch trial.
Oh.
Both good claims to fame there, Dak.
I've got the killer one. I think I've got the killer one. The old guy. Actually, even before the last name came in, an old Scottish guy named Macbeth.
You're telling me that you're actually related to the Macbeth that was the Shakespeare play was based on?
Okay, Macbeth. What was his castle? Castle of origin? Anybody remember?
Castle.
Name of the castle.
Fuck! Why are you doing this to me? You're making me remember basically Shakespeare. I haven't taken Shakespeare since high school.
Castle Cawdor. C A W D O R. Original spelling of my last name.
Tell me.
C A L D E R. Which means either that Macbeth fellow was the Lord and Sovereign over some of my relatives who were digging shit outside his front door.
No.
Or somewhere a friend of a friend of a friend of a relative of a friend.
Well, you know what Kilroy means? Unrecognized bastard child of royalty. That's exactly what it means.
Wow. That's great.
In any
my
case,
new son of Brian, I guess.
I would like to talk about the future of Cult and some of the projects that we'd like to work on a little bit. For example, one of the things we'd like to do is the eventual goal is to get 1 million members.
Now, million member mark.
1 million member mark. Now, the reason why we want to get 1 million members is because we want money.
It's a nice, cool, round number, too.
Money would be cool. Because imagine the kind of cool shit. You got to ask yourself, you know, like the Sally Struthers ad, what can $10 buy you? What can $10 get you, you know? And
not much as an individual, but...
Not much as an individual, but what if we could actually put up a satellite? Imagine for a moment, we managed to get put the money together so that some fucking agency said, yeah, okay, we'll put up a satellite. And then we open sourced it. Mm-hmm. And we let only people who are heavily qualified put up free satellite service. We could have, like, our very own cult spy satellite that just takes photos of the ground.
Yep.
So we could use it for observation. We could do, there'd be a ton of shit you could do with
data
that.
Data through there. Sure. Store data on the satellite. Try and take that down.
Yeah, data piracy. You know, I mean, that's a good place for data havens. Put it in fucking orbit. Geosynchronous. Thanks for coming out. More than this, there's the idea that you could look at, like, for example, if... One of the big ones I'd like to do is I'd like to create kind of a haven, kind of a cult haven. This is sort of a down the road a little ways. We wouldn't need, well, okay, let's say we got 1 million members and everybody sent in $10. Only 10% of it did it. And only 10% said, okay, well, whatever. I believe in what Sean's doing.
$1 million.
There's $1 million. Now, with $1 million, I could set up one hell of a cult retreat where I go up the coast, find a chunk of dirt, and build a great big fucking house on it with a whole shitload of rooms, which are kept empty. And at any point, cult members could just show up. I mean, an ICQ and everything so I can make sure the rooms are ready and shit. But you could have a place where you could go to escape, to get away from the world for a while. You know, in case you need to, say, avoid any unnecessary incarceration or something to that effect. But it'd be very, very cool if we could somehow develop a method for having cult members be able to go to a retreat.
Cult Satellite TV Network.
Yeah, it'd be pretty handy. Now, there's a couple of things there's a couple of really cool things that we could do also. We could set it up a little bit further up the coastline, so it would be like sort of this weird kind of bed and breakfast big place. Or we could set it in a major urban environment. I'm kind of a fan of doing it in the major urban environment because eventually we could set that up as like a nightclub kind of stance when we put in the Japanese-style coffin hotels so that people could go. And you have two floors. You run it like a private club. On the first floor is where you serve drinks and whatever to the standard populace. And then you have your special cult door where everyone shows their ID cards, courtesy of Skip Radio. They come inside, they go downstairs, and downstairs they have the complete layout. You got LANs, networks, basic dedicated lines to the internet. And from that point, you've got your coffin hotels down there. You've got food dispensing machines, like all done vending style, so you don't actually need staff. And you have a gym with showers, so if people, you know, need to go and shower up, freshen up, whatever, get changed.
They... Even cult members stink.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And
nobody can tell online.
With this sort of a setup, it'd be possible for a cult member to go into an establishment like this and not leave for days. They could. They'd have everything they need right there. They'd have their internet connection. They'd have a social environment. Ooh. They'd have a escape. They'd have a place to sleep. It'd be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be absolutely ideal, but eventually, if this thing started to work, we could have these things set up like mosques, like a kind of a local center where, you know,
coming to a major city near you.
Exactly.
Los Angeles, New York, Vancouver.
Sure. Why not? And why not? I mean, it'd be
and Seattle besides Starbucks.
Sure, it'd be really cool.
One in every corner.
Besides Starbucks.
Well, I don't know about one on every corner, but I thought it'd be definitely, you know, one in a couple of major cities and some central locations. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty cool, I think. But
the future of Rant Radio.
What about the future of Rant Radio?
Well, we're a pretty sometimes extremist kind of group, and we have very extreme viewpoints. And I'd like to get some more shows set up like this, and such as like
spread the virus
like PETA or Greenpeace or big major organizations like that to get their own shows on here. Because we've got the infrastructure all ready to go. They just log in and start broadcasting what they want to say.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a very cool thing.
Now, we must specify that the kind of people we want to have involved with this are already established organizations.
Yeah.
Or already established websites.
They
simply
have
because
to say.
Now, there's a lot of people that want to have something to say. Rant Radio, What the Hell's From, is your forum to do this.
Yeah.
If you have stories you want to post, you want to have statements you want to post, you can do it to the website. You can go log on to the cult website, talk to Anki, get your login and password. You can post links, forums, you can post rants, whatever it is you need. We don't really want to give out too many shows to individuals anymore.
No.
Because it is so incredibly hard to make sure that the commitment and the level of professionalism that could be needed for something like that. It's very difficult.
That's right. And we've been through that before. Where a whole bunch of DJs, yeah, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do it, and they have nothing to talk about, and they do one show, maybe. And they don't even show up, and I put them on the page, and it's all fucked up. So let's
see. That level of commitment is simply not acceptable.
No, it's not. It was very tedious. We had like 30 DJs, and none of them showed up. The non-existent DJ list. It was wonderful, but some of them did, but it was just too much work, and I said, fuck it, they're all gone. So how many people are left this morning? It's 5:26 a.m. here, and it's about 8:26 a.m. in the eastern places. In the IRC, we have Mr. Echo, Cenobite Ophi Dophi, Decker Format RR, Decker Test Rider, Gargoyle Atom, Nomad 316, Prophet Nixter, Prophet Smokas, Prophet Zerstorer, Ronan Burns, DJ Intensity, Ellis from Geek News, he's logged in, but I don't know if he's still here. Emperor Chang, Gamer Space, Marvy, and Forensic Wisdom, Zed's beside his name. I think he's asleep. I've got something that was a very cool thing that was posted on Slashdot once, and I think something that ties into what Sean was saying before about his vision to take himself and all the rest of the cult members and mount like cameras embedded in their glasses so people can just log in if somebody has a question or something or is looking. It's like, hey, look at what I'm looking at and tell me what's going on. And this was off Slashdot by Zida. This is May 31st, quite a while ago. Look at digital cameras and scanners and microphones. Eventually, we'll be able to make digital cameras that are equivalent to the eyes in terms of size and viewing range and all the technical aspects. Then we can make microphones small enough to fit in the ear. Then we can have digital storage to record everything we see and hear. Combine this with the wireless link and the entire world can share. What will copyrights mean then? You'll read a book, you're scanning a book. Once you read a book, anyone can read a book. You see a movie, you record your exact vision and exact sound, then everyone can see the movie through your eyes and ears. You hear music, everyone hears music. Once technology progresses enough to replicate our actual organs' abilities, there will be no use for copyright. You will be able to replay experiences exactly as you experienced them. Others will be able to replay the same experiences. We are not there yet, but OCR will progress until we can reliably scan books by just photographing and reading them. Mini-disc and MP3 recorders will get smaller and smaller. Digital camcorders will shrink. We will probably not achieve perfection of the replication of sights and sounds, but at what level of quality will it not matter? The audio files will still be upset, the video files will never be pleased, but most of humanity will still be able to share everything they experience at sufficiently advanced levels of quality. Assume that something you can see and hear you can't record? Why? You're already experiencing it, and you're not allowed to have memories? Or is it only ethical to have bad memories? What about hearing aids, vision aids for people who have impaired sights? Are those illegal? Can they be modified to record? What does this mean now? Can I carry a digital camcorder around everywhere I go, watching movies, visiting concerts? Probably not. Why not? We must start thinking about what happens when technology changes all our old assumptions. This is merely the beginning.
The general advancement. There's a lot of sensationalism that goes with the advancement of technology.
Mm-hmm.
People are concerned about, you know, where's technology going to go? You know, this is a lot of this is just kind of a boiled down version of the robots will kill us all. And
actually, I think it goes back a little further. I think it's like the fire scares me.
Sure, I mean, but
well, in the modern era, it goes back at least to something like Frankenstein.
Oh, sure. Or,
modern Prometheus.
Or, you know, the Terminator movies where, of course, robots, the minute they become sentient, become dedicated to killing people. Because that's what robots do. They always just kill
people. I think that's because we kill people, so we got to figure that anything we build will.
Well, we're probably the most warlike race in the galaxy.
No. I'm willing to bet that there's things out there that make us basically look tame.
And they're just leaving us alone because we're weak and they don't need to bother with us.
No, I think
they're leaving us alone because of a little thing called astrophysics.
In
spite of what you see in Hollywood movies, space is really, really big.
Is it?
Space is very, very big. And also there's
hard
the fact
to traverse.
What's that?
Hard to traverse. Hard very to easily.
I also think it's basically anybody who's a little bit more warlike than us basically probably whack themselves, okay?
They wipe themselves out before they could even get here.
Yeah. Right now, someplace, there's the local equivalent of the cockroach going, what the fuck was that?
Oh, well. Trot, trot, trot.
So it can be sort of brutal. The concept of technology taking over, I mean, the whole robots killing things thing is, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. People have to learn, like Lars Ulrich. Now, there's an example of someone who needs to understand.
By
the
way, that was a smooth segue, but go ahead.
It was good.
For which?
From robots to Lars Ulrich.
Well, it's all about technology and the advancement
That's
of
right.
technology, right?
And people are scared of it.
And people are scared, and Lars Ulrich is a prime example of that. Now, even Chuck D, who, in the interview, he consistently called the fucking guy Charlie. Well, Charlie. I never called Chuck D Charlie. Could you imagine calling Chuck D
I'd
Charlie?
Be like, no.
And you're like, fuck that. But in any case, he's... Yeah, Chuck D gets it. Okay, Chuck D kind of understands what the fuck's going on.
He's like, I'm going to go with the flow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the flow because this
you
is...
You can't stop it.
And he sees that this could be the eventual death of the music industry.
Yep.
Whereas Lars Ulrich, you know, he doesn't really understand what's happening. He just thinks he's being ripped off. They're listening
I'm fucking being ripped off. My lawyer said I'm being ripped off.
I love that cartoon, especially the part where he goes completely berserk and begins climbing the screen.
Climbing around the screen, oh yeah.
It's crazy because no one's making any money, Lars. You know, no one's making any
They're
money.
They're not stealing
and
your money.
But you don't understand, I'm not making money yet, and this is really starting to piss me off, okay? Man, this is really pissing me off. And that's where
that's
he's
right.
at, and it's bad. So he's got to learn to understand that, you know, sorry. Technology
he's not stealing. They're not stealing money out of
I mean,
your
wallet. Projectile Vomitman, you had a really good point. You said, well, where somebody wrote that, yeah, you had a good time while it was actually possible to sell music. I mean, that whole concept is ludicrous anyway. Like, Daddy, were you licensed to tell me that bedtime story? Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Where do you draw the line, you know?
Well, I believe I've discussed
our brother,
this several or eight times.
Brother, what's that?
I know. I believe I've discussed where to draw the line several or eight times.
No, it's
in
true.
In their bodies. No. Wait. With their bodies. Nagasaki, the art of Japanese body arrangement.
Well, actually, that was just a horrible injury. A nuclear test that was a war that really made no sense. But in any case, the point is with the advent of technology, we have to learn to embrace it and accept it. Yeah. And it's all about conquering FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
That's right.
And you hear it a lot in the industry. You hear it a lot on Slashdot.
You got to adapt. Things are changing. You can't stay in the same rut all the time. These big corporations making money the way they always have made it.
Congratulations.
Things change.
You just proved that Darwinism works.
That's right.
Well, there's a lot of...
We're evolving. They are not.
And this is one of the reasons why cult is so important to maintain. It's not about the revolution. It's about evolution. And APOC brought up a lot of really good points where eventually, if we get enough young people via hearts and minds, we'll be able to just... All the old school way of thinking, all the rhetoric, all the bullshit, all the bureaucratic crap will die. These people will get old and they'll die.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have enough people, sooner or later, we'll infect everything because the truth is a beautiful thing. The truth can stand on its own. I asked my father one time, I said, how would you recognize wisdom versus, the bullshit that claims to be wisdom? And the beauty about wisdom is all wisdom is simple. That's how you can recognize it as such. And
all those sayings from China and Japan, they're like
Tao Te Ching. I mean,
they're
Tao
like
Te
five
Ching's
words, and they're like, oh yeah.
And you're like, wow, it sucks to be in pain, things like that.
Pain is bad.
Pain bad, and you begin to realize
that. Build up on from there.
If you are unhappy, change the thing that hurts you.
There you go.
Very
go
simple.
Away from it.
Yeah, go away from it. Change. There's always choice. Always choice. Even if you're like locked into a bad marriage and you got shitty kids and everything's all fucked up.
I'm not going to stop you, but doesn't this get back to the kind of depressing 2 hour thing we were doing?
No, this is all a very positive thing. It's all about adaptation and about new ideas and concepts. And we must understand that technology makes this possible for the first time in recorded history for this many people to communicate. I mean, in China, this was interesting. I was talking to Nikolai. Nikolai is a fellow I work with, and he is from Romania. He's an older guy, so he was there during communism times, and he had some interesting stories and some interesting parallels, which I'll share with you. For example, in Romania, everyone had the same kind of car. No matter what it was the same kind of car. It was a communist country.
What was it? What was the name?
Here's your car.
It was a Zilic or something like that?
It doesn't matter. The point is that everyone had the same
small
kind of car.
Small car.
Some small car. So in order
had
to
a
gain...
bug on the hood and ran on kerosene.
Yeah. Pretty much. Whatever.
Sorry.
So you have... Everyone has the same car. And in order to gain status... Because people needed status. They needed a way to categorize themselves. And as ludicrous as this sounded, license plates over there were not a set six-digit number, a four-digit number, whatever. They were all set, like, numerically. So if you could have a license plate with a number 1, you could have a license plate with a number 153 or 456 or whatever. It's all numeric. So there's no set amount of digits. Now, to gain status over there, you would try to get a license plate with the lowest possible number.
Because you all had the same car.
And that was how you established your status. Sort of like ICQ, where we look at people on their ICQ, they got a huge number, they haven't been in the industry. And we all do it.
Yep.
We all do it. You all look at ICQ numbers and you're like, whoa.
Oh. He's got a low one. He's
been doing this for a long time.
Hence my number.
Carried in, and we're proud of these.
A number in single digits must grovel his feet in worship.
Well, the police would leave these guys alone.
And the low number
people? Yeah, because they were usually influential.
Yeah. Because they somehow acquired...
And we look at this...
Names like Ceausescu.
And we look at... We look at this and we think, wow, that's really stupid. And you got to think, well, is it? Is it because you'd leave the people driving the DeLorean alone? You'd leave the people driving the Lamborghini alone? Why is it so? Why is it so hard to believe this number thing? Another interesting thing, getting more to the internet and communication, is typewriters were illegal in Romania. You were not allowed to own a typewriter, and if you did own one, you had to apply to get a license to have a typewriter so you could print and make printed matter to distribute. And more than this, they would register the ink so the ink could be tracked to a specific typewriter.
That's pretty tight communism there.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you for this. Because of you, I have an image of myself charging through people while basically Carmen Burana plays in the background and I'm holding a shovel.
Yeah. Well,
give whoa. Shot.
I know.
It gets better. It gets better. And another one. This is a great one here. This is my personal favorite. And to hear Nikolai tell me about this is just unbelievable. But he was saying that if you wanted a phone, okay, a telephone, you don't buy a telephone. You apply to the government. They come into your house. They say, where do you want your telephone? And they install a telephone hardwired and you have one phone. Okay? And the neat thing about this telephone is that the government can pick up a receiver and the telephone acts like a microphone and they can listen into whatever's going on in your house. All the conversations you're having.
That's a good bonus, eh?
Yeah, I remember that.
Neat telephone.
When Ceausescu got...
Yes.
When Ceausescu basically got shot, boy, that was a good day. They went to the telephone exchange, and it literally, basically, every fucking person in the country could be listened to.
Uh-huh. Now, naturally, you wouldn't be able to do it. So what they do is they do it selectively. On some days, they go here and there, everywhere.
Yep.
And if you're a political dissident, they check these houses, yada yada yada. But
listen for keywords.
You know, or they'd listen to your conversation. They have people sit back and say, what the fuck are they talking about? And it's like Uber shoulder surf. You know what I mean?
That's right.
When they sold it.
We talk about Big Brother. There it was.
Yeah, when they sold this thing, they think, what a great technology this is. Because now, when people are talking in their homes, we can hear what it is they want, so we can give the people what they want. That was the angle they had in their propaganda. We're doing this so that we can give you what you want.
And we know what you want.
And we know what you want because we can listen in. You have nothing to be afraid. There's always security.
No, though the quote was, and I've heard this before, is only the guilty need fear what they say.
Yeah. So
isn't that a fucking great line?
So it is great, though.
What you have to think about now is through the internet, Russia is going to explode. The dot-coms are very slowly seeping in there, and Russia is slowly moving in to the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very, very
but wait, Putin's in and communism's back.
However, technology will not be stopped, and it will not be
very
stopped
difficult.
By young people. Young people will grab hold of the technology, and in China, they are raiding web cafes, and they're calling them digital crack houses, and they are arresting people for surfing the internet. As madness as that is. Now, China fucking pisses me off, okay, to, like, no end of a level. I mean, these fucking guys, they're sitting there, they just got a hold of a supercomputer, they're doing nuke testing simulations with it, an illegal use of a supercomputer. I mean, they bought it, they should be able to do whatever they want with it, except for the fact that China pretty much is into this whole, we're going to conquer the earth thing. And they are still the big, you know, red communist thing. They got the largest man-powered army in the fucking world. They're really scary. However, they're on the other side of the ocean. So we're not really too concerned with them because, oh, well, you know, they'll just go kill other brown people. Who cares? The fact that China has set up concentration camps, extermination Nazi style, and are slaughtering the Tibetan people en masse.
And we do nothing about it.
And we don't do anything about this because they're brown people.
Yep.
They're brown people and we have nothing to save by this. You know.
Rwanda.
The Rwandan crisis.
800,000 people in 100 days.
Yeah, 10 times more efficient than the Nazis ever were.
10 times what the Nazis did.
That's right.
In a shorter number of period.
It was so bad.
In other words, why this happens, not here, not white.
Yeah, not here, not white. And the reason why this occurs is, you know, it was so bad in Rwanda that there were bodies flowing down the rivers out of the countries.
Into the neighboring countries.
You want to hear a really sad? You want to hear a really sad story? You know the French-Canadian general who was in charge of the Canadians over there and who saw this shit going down back in 94 when it was, like, at its height? The genocide was at its height?
Right.
He's, like, a drunk on the street these days.
He broke down. He can't take it.
He's like, he still has nightmares about it, and he's like an alcoholic and like
he could have stopped
practically
it.
Living on the street.
He could have stopped it.
Really?
He could have stopped it, and the UN
wouldn't let him.
Wouldn't let him.
Rogue.
Oh, yeah. Mutiny.
I go Rugrats.
I'd
fuck that.